KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Poor numbers, and they're reflective of underlying economic uncertainty driven by the simple fact that the Biden administration not only has no plan, all of their plans are bad. This is the Joe Session. We are in the middle of Joe Biden's recession because the fact is that this was not supposed to happen. I said when Joe Biden took office that he was the luckiest son of a gun ever to take the office, not only because of the...
We now bring you the Colt 45's game.
Alrighty, folks, welcome to the Reading Colt 45's baseball game tonight, brought to you. Well, we're going right into the national anthem.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale.
Alrighty, folks, that was Scott Lewis bringing us the national anthem tonight. It is Friday, the 17th of June, and the Reading Colt 45s are getting ready for their second matchup of the season against the Fairfield Indians, the first of which occurred last night on the 16th and resulted in a Reading Colt 45s W. Final score was 18-4 in that game. Now, I'd like to let you folks know that this game tonight is going to be brought to you by, Gold Leaf Nursery. Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and wants to help you grow your own groceries. Gold Leaf Nursery features fresh fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now is the time to start preparing your garden. Gold Leaf has a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, quarter mile from Airport Road, back open Wednesday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So with that, we are going to watch the Colt 45s get warmed up out on the field right now. They're also having the plate meeting between the coaches and the umpires. I'm going to take this opportunity to read to you folks the starting lineup for the Colt 45s. As usual, it's going to be Arif Camacho over there at shortstop. He's hitting in that number one spot tonight, and then Norton will be following him. Norton not going to be at first base. He'll be designated hitting tonight. Bryce Tweet will be in that number three spot once again, and unsurprisingly, he'll be in center field. It'll be Derek Ray coming back into the lineup after a little while. He'll be playing left field tonight. Blake Tweed batting fifth and playing in right. Wyatt Larinaga will be playing third base once again with Nate Scott over there at first and batting seventh. In that eight hole, it's going to be Mateo Mendoza once again switching out with Ethan Williams as they have done so far throughout the entire season. It's going to be Jonathan Kumai over there at second base. And then on the mound for the Colt 45s is going to be Isaac Horseman. Horseman, we have come to know him as one of the most powerful and, well, really probably just one of the most effective pitchers for the Colt 45s. I don't think it would be too controversial to say he's the ace at the moment. He stands at a towering 6 feet 5 inches tall, and weighs a whopping 225 pounds. He's a big guy, and he really knows how to get it down on the mound for the Colt 45s, and he'll try to do just that tonight. For the Fairfield Indians, it's going to be Mickey Nunez playing second base and leading off. It'll be DeAndre Gaines, who was leading off last night in the number two hole. Again, he'll be in center field. It'll be Ike Brown playing third base and batting number three. Cameron Appling will be the designated hitter tonight. He had a long home run last night. It'll be Braxton King in the number five hole, and he'll be playing shortstop once again. Will Robinson is going to be behind the plate for the Fairfield Indians and batting six. In that seven hole, it's going to be Zion Judkins, and he'll be playing first base tonight. It'll be Jalen Edmonds in left field, Robert Searcy in right field, and Jameson Hogarth on the mound for the Indians tonight. So with that, we're just going to wait for Isaac Horseman to finish warming up out there on the mound. And, well, we see at least the first four guys in that Fairfield Indians order lined up outside of the dugout, taking some hacks, trying to get timed up against Horseman. Now, if the Colt 45s come out with half the performance they had last night, they should be able to take this game pretty easily. Remember, that win last night was 18-4 was well, I don't know what else you would call it, but a blowout. The Indians hoping to bounce back here, hopefully limit the Colt 45's bats and get a few more runs of their own tonight. And just like that, we're going to welcome up Mickey Nunez to the plate to start off this game. He's going to really manhandle that dirt in the left-handed batter box before stepping in. Now Horseman will take the rubber. Here comes the first pitch of the game. Fastball outside, ball one to Mickey Nunez. So 7:14 is the time of the first pitch here, as now Horseman's going to deliver a changeup. That one's going to miss a little high for ball two. The count will be two balls and no strikes. Now the pitch. That one's going to be outside, ball three. So Horseman starting Nunez off here with a pretty hitter-friendly count. Three balls and no strikes. We are getting a little bit of a drizzle here. It's been off and on for the past 10, 15 minutes. We've definitely seen worse here, though, earlier in the season. And now Horseman's going to deliver a fastball in there for strike one. The count will become three balls and a strike to Mickey Nunez. Now the pitch. Here it comes. That's going to be a low fastball, and home plate umpire Anthony Ortiz says it does not quite catch the zone, so Mickey Nunez will get on with a walk to lead off the game. It'll be a runner at first now, no outs for DeAndre Gaines. Gaines was the leadoff hitter last night for the Fairfield Indians. He was hit by a pitch in his first at-bat and then struck out twice in the next two. Now he's going to show bunt, but pull back. However, that fastball is going to be in there for strike one. So if he was really serious about bunting there, and that was the pitch to do it. Can only imagine he was potentially trying to deke out Horseman. Now the pitch, here it comes. That's going to be an outside fastball, ball one. The count's evened up now, at a ball and a strike. Gaines now back in the box. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled out into right field. That'll be a base hit. Tweed does a good job of cutting it off quickly, and Nunez will be held up at second. So a walk and a single to start off the game for the Indians. They've got no outs and runners on first and second, and this is certainly not the kind of start we're accustomed to with Isaac Horsman. He seems to be struggling here, trying to find a rhythm early on in this game. Well, now we're going to see Ike Brown come up to the plate for the first time. Brown yesterday had an RBI double. He also had a couple of strikeouts on top of that. Now the 0-0 pitch is going to be a fastball high for ball one. Horsman setting up, not paying much attention to those runners. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. Brown almost unloaded on that one, but held himself back. The count's going to move to 2-0. Horsman takes his sign, sets up. Now he'll look back at second. They're holding him tight. Here comes the pitch. Inside fastball, strike one. That was a nice pitch right on the inside corner. Brown kind of disagreed with that call. Thought that was maybe a little too inside. Now, I noted this yesterday, but I'll say it again. Brown has a very wide stance. It covers almost the entire length of the batter's box. Now the 2-1 pitch. It's going to be bounced off of the plate and foul. That one was hit straight down, bounced off of the plate, and back maybe about 2-3 feet to the left side. Williams popped up and snagged it. It'll be a 2-2 count now to Ike Brown. Here comes the pitch. Outside fastball. Good-looking pitch, but apparently it was a ball. So 3-2. The count will become full for Ike Brown. This is a this is an important pitch for Isaac Horsman. Getting the bases loaded this early on would be rough. But he's going to get a called strike three on a fastball in the outside corner. Brown is upset at that call. He's throwing up his arms and exchanging a couple of words with that home plate umpire before heading back to the dugout. And that was really exactly what Horsman wanted out of that pitch. Right on that outside corner, froze up Ike Brown and gets out number one for Isaac Horsman. So now a double play could abruptly end the inning. They're still holding Nunez on pretty tight over there at second. Here comes the pitch to Cameron Appling. Remember I said it earlier, Appling had that long two-run shot to right field last night. Now Horsman will set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on. This one's going to be drilled deep into right field. Blake Tweed going back. It'll be off the wall. Nunez will turn around. He's going to come and score. Now it's going to skirt away from Arive Camacho as the throw comes in, and that'll allow DeAndre Gaines to score as well. Somehow Appling only made it to first. He was pretty slow coming out of the box. You kind of watched that one. I think he thought it was gone. Either way, however, he's got a couple of RBIs here to start off this ball game, and Horsman is definitely in a spot he did not want to be in this early on in the game. So that'll bring up Braxton King, the shortstop, for the first time tonight. Runner on first. Appling, with big of a guy as he is, I don't think he's much of a threat to steal. King is going to take a first pitch fastball for strike one. One out, here's the pitch. It's going to be a low fastball in the dirt this time for ball one. So unfortunately on that RBI double, two RBI double from Appling. The throw in from Blake Tweed just got away from Arif Camacho. I don't know if that was a problem on the throw or a problem on the reception by Camacho, but it just squirted away from him and allowed DeAndre Gaines to come around and score. There definitely would have been a close play at the plate had Camacho been able to field that ball. Now the 1-1 pitch, here it comes. Outside fastball. There's going to be a back pick from Mendoza to first. Almost catches Appling there, but Appling's going to be back in safely on the head first slide. That was a, well, that was a tremendous throw from Mendoza. He went to the right side from his knees, and that's not something you see often. That's a signal of a really strong arm. But now the 3-1 pitch is going to be low, ball four. Horseman continues to struggle a bit as he gives up his second walk of the inning. Again, runners will be at first and second with, with just one out. So it'll be Will Robeson coming up. Robeson is behind the plate tonight. He was behind the plate for the majority of the game last night as well, replaced actually by Appling late in the game. Now he'll take a crack at it and see if he can deal some damage. So, runners on first and second, one out for Will Robeson. Here comes the pitch to start him off. Fastball, it's going to be bounced straight back to Horseman. He'll go to second. Camacho's got it. He'll throw to first in time for the double play. So that's exactly what the Colt 45s needed to get out of this inning and get Horseman back in and focused on the game. They'll go in and grab the bats. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Gold Leaf Nursery. They are a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45's baseball, and they are back open. They feature new statuary, including bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter of a mile from Airport Road. And we'll see you in the bottom of the second after the break.
Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is the bottom of the first inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Redding Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. It's going to be Jameson Hogarth on the mound for the Fairfield Indians tonight. It'll be the first time we see him in the series. And, well, the rain's, it's not really letting up. The wind is also kind of blowing it right in my face. I have a pop-up here protecting all of my equipment, but it's not really protecting me so much as the rain just seems to be coming in somehow. It'll be Arif Camacho starting off things for the Colt 45s at the plate. Camacho has just been consistently, consistently impressive. I think that's the only way to put it. Last night was his probably his worst game in a while, and he still had an RBI triple last night. So that tells you anything about the impressive performance from Camacho as of late. And now he's going to stride up to the plate. So Jameson Hogarth will face his first opponent of the day. Camacho's got a really smooth stance and swing. And now he's going to watch a curveball go by. That one almost hit him. It looked like maybe it slipped out of the hand of Hogarth. And, well, it almost came in and hit Camacho right on the shoulder. Now the 1-0 pitch, here it comes. Low fastball. Hogarth has some good velocity on that fastball. That's certain. I can't imagine. I mean, well, we've seen rain a couple times already in the season. And it definitely has seemed to impair the pitchers a bit. I mean, they've got to be dealing with even as much effort as they put into keeping that ball dry, you know, with the rain constantly falling down around them, getting them wet and the ball wet and the grass wet, you know, the ball's eventually going to get a little bit slippery. Camacho swings at a curveball in the dirt for strike one. That one had a lot of movement, so it'll be a 2-1 count. Here comes the pitch. That one's going to be a high fastball. It'll be out of the zone for ball three. The count will become 3 balls and a strike now. So Garth sets up. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in the dirt. Ball four. So Camacho sprints over there to first base and rounds it before coming back. And that'll bring up Kyle Norton, the designated hitter. Norton's definitely a guy you can depend on to get a job done. Last night, he had a couple of singles. He was 2-for-4 and had a walk to go along with it. And he's just one of those guys who has just been consistently really solid for the 45s. He doesn't strike out a whole lot. He pretty consistently puts the ball in play. And now he'll head up to the plate for the first time tonight. Here comes the pitch from Hogarth. It's going to be some sort of off speed. I'm not quite sure what it was supposed to be. Maybe a curveball, but it didn't have a whole lot of movement. Instead, it goes high for ball one. Rain is still drizzling here. I don't think there's any chance they'll cancel it. Now the runner's going to go on the pitch. Throw down is going to be not quite in time. Camacho's in there safely. It was a phenomenal throw from the catcher. Sorry, the catcher, Robeson. But the curveball that came in, it was a strike, by the way, the curveball to Norton. It really just was so slow that Camacho was able to get a great jump off of it. Hogarth also has a bit of a slow stride down to the plate. Now Norton's going to show bunt, but pull back on a curveball that is going to be called a strike anyways. So the count's going to move over to a ball and 2 strikes for Norton. He'll have to battle back here with a runner on second. He's got a chance to do some damage. Base hit would most likely score Camacho. Camacho's got a lot of speed, and now he's going to try to take third. And Norton puts it into play. It's going to go straight up the middle, fielded by King at shortstop. And it's going to be out at first. And now there's going to be a play at the plate, and Camacho's in there sliding. He is safe at home plate. He looks a little hurt, kind of limping there off the field. He should be okay. But that was, let me tell you, folks, a perfectly executed hit and run. Camacho went to take third, and you could tell Norton got a pitch that he didn't want to swing at, but he did because he knew he had to, and just kind of threw his bat out at it and gave a weak ground ball up the middle. It was fielded by King. King threw to first, got the out, and then Camacho decided to go around third and try to head for home, and the throw to the plate was just barely not in time. That was as close a play you'll ever see. But the score now becomes 2-1. Colts trail by just one run. And now it's going to be Bryce Tweet coming up to bat, and he's going to take a fastball right in the arm for a free base. So that'll be a hit batter for Hogarth, and it'll bring up Derek Ray, the left fielder, hitting cleanup tonight. Ray hasn't been too consistent in the lineup, but we know he's got a good bat. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be a curveball in there for strike one. The catcher Robeson, he was having trouble handling the ball last night a bit, and he just dropped it again there. The count will be 0-1 with Tweed leading off at first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled over the right side dugout for strike two. Derek Gray's got himself in an 0-2 count. Well, it's windy and rainy here at Tiger Field. Not the best conditions for baseball, but we're playing on anyways, and well, we've got a good amount of fans here in the stands. That's always good to see. Everyone coming out to support that hometown team. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Outside fastball, ball one. They seem pretty unfazed by the rain as well. See a lot of folks out here just rocking the sweatshirt, no umbrella. Some even without a hood on. And a couple like me wearing shorts and T-shirts. Now Hogarth is going to throw on over to first. Tweed is back in there standing up. He could probably get another step on that leadoff if he wanted. Now Hogarth will set up once again. Here comes the pitch to Ray. It's going to be swung on and lifted high into left field. The left fielder, Jalen Edmonds, is going to make the catch and send it back in to the infield. Bryce Tweed sensibly holds up at first. It'll be two outs here in the bottom of the first inning with a runner on first for the Colt 45s. Blake Tweed up to bat with his brother Bryce leading off at first. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, ball one. I'll be honest, Bryce Tweed playing center field has some serious speed. I'm a little surprised they haven't sent him. Suppose they imagine with that cannon from Robeson that it's a little risky here with two outs. But a runner on second could be a big-time deal for the Colt 45s. Now, Blake Tweed is going to take a curveball in there for strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count to Tweed. Two-one is the score, 1-1 is the count, and Hogarth is going to throw one over to first. Tweed once again back in there standing up. He's really not in much danger of the pickoff. He's reading it pretty well. I think he can get an extra step on that leadoff. I'm surprised they haven't sent him still. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be an inside off speed for ball two. On deck will be Wyatt Larinaga playing third base tonight. Larinaga was in the lineup last night as well. Pretty quiet, however. He's 1-for-5. And now the runner is going to go, and a curveball is going to hit Tweed, and he'll head on over to first. So the Tweed brothers both get on by getting hit. And now it'll be Wyatt Larinaga. As I was saying, Larinaga, pretty quiet in last night's game. He had an infield single, but not much aside from that. Now he's going to watch a curveball in there for strike one. Watching that curveball, I think it's easily Hogarth's most deceiving pitch, probably most effective as well. However, it's kind of a hit or miss on the control with that pitch. He's hit a couple guys with it already. So it's a little bit of a risk, I suppose. Now the wind is really picking up, whipping this rain around. The count will be 0-1 to Larinaga. Runners on first and second. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Ortiz says it catches the top of the zone for strike two. It'll now be a ball and two strikes to Wyatt Larinaga. Now the 1-2 pitch, here it comes. Swung on and lifted high and back into the stands. The catcher Robeson was chasing after it all the way back to the net, but it goes just past the net and into the second or third row that stands here at Tiger Field. So the count remains a ball and two strikes to Wyatt Larinaga. Here comes the 1-2 pitch again. Swung on and missed. High fastball. Got Larinaga to the chase. And that'll do it here for the Colt 45s in the bottom of the first inning. So they are able to score one. However, they cannot tie it up. That'll bring up Isaac Horseman back out onto the mound as the Fairfield Indians head into the dugout to grab the bats. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Gold Leaf Nursery, which is back open. It's time to add color to your landscape with a variety of flowers from Gold Leaf Nursery. They also feature fruit trees along with blueberry, strawberry, vegetable, and herb plants. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, quarter mile from Airport Road. Go check them out.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
All righty, folks, welcome back here to the top of the second inning at Tiger Field in the matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Fairfield Indians. The score here at Tiger Field is 2-1, Indians lead heading into the top of the second. It's going to be Will Robeson, the catcher. Sorry, it's not going to be Robeson. It's going to be Zion Judkins coming up to the plate. Robeson hitting to that double play last inning. So Judkins, the first baseman, will try to get things started here in the top of the second, and he's going to watch a fastball go by for strike one. So it'll be no balls and a strike. 2-1 is the score here at Tiger Field. Swung on and grounded over to the right side for strike two. It'll be no balls and two strikes. Now to Zion Judkins. 0-2 pitch. Here it comes. High fastball, swung on and missed for out number one. So, Horseman already looking a lot more comfortable out on the mound than he did last inning. He gets a quick first out on the strikeout. That was a nice high fastball. Got Judkins to go up there and chase after it. And that'll bring up Jalen Edmonds, the left fielder, for the first time tonight. Horseman looking down and taking his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled. Back into the parking lot. That one's going to hit a car. Unfortunate for the owner of that one. Didn't see what car it hit, but you could hear it from here. That one definitely going to leave a dent. Deal one pitch now. Here it comes. Curveball in there for strike two. That was a nice curveball. Froze up Edmonds. And then just made its way right into that inside corner. The count will be no balls and two strikes with an out. Here comes the pitch. Another curveball. This one's going to be driven into left field for a base hit. Edmonds takes a big round off of first base, but he'll hold up there. It'll be Robert Searcy coming up now for the Indians playing right field. He was in left field last night for the Indians. Searcy was 0-for-3 last night. He had a couple of strikeouts and was out on a bunt attempt Here comes the pitch. Runner's going to go. Throw down is going to be, well, there is going to be no throw down. Mendoza did a whole throwing motion, but the ball just stayed in his hand. It never left his hand. I don't know if that was on purpose. He kind of looked down at it like perhaps he didn't get a good grip that he wanted, but he's going to hold on to it as Jalen Edmonds makes his way on over to second base. So now with the runner on second and one out, the double play is off. Horseman is going to step off of second and mimic a throw over. Nobody's holding him on, however, so he'll hold on to the ball. Robert Searcy has an opportunity for an RBI here. The count is no balls and a strike. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and bounced over the head of Horseman. Camacho's coming in. He'll make the play and throw over to first for out number two. In the meantime, Jalen Edmonds makes his way on over to third base. So productive out there for Robert Searcy. He's able to move a runner over. And that'll bring up the top of the order, actually. It's going to be Mickey Nunez up to bat once again. Nunez started off the game last inning, in the top of the first. He walked. Let's see what he does here, if he can draw himself an RBI. I will pitch. Here it comes. High fastball, ball one. The count will be 1-0 to Mickey Nunez now. Again, it's going to be Jalen Edmonds leading off a third. Here's the pitch. Curveball in the dirt. Block from Mendoza keeps it within a few feet and holds up Edmonds at third. That was a nice job from Mendoza getting square with that ball and, well, keeping it within walking distance. 2-0 is the count now to Mickey Nunez. Horseman sets up. The pitch. Curveball in there for strike one. That was a beautiful curveball. I think it just froze Nunez. I mean, it was way high and then last second just kind of dropped off the table. Now the count moves to 2 balls on the strike. The pitch, here it comes. That one's going to be swung on and grounded to Camacho, who will backhand it and make a throw. The throw is going to be over the head of Norton, unfortunately. It tips off of his glove. I think they're going to rule that a base hit. There's some extraordinary effort there on the part of Camacho. I didn't think they even had a chance. The effort of Camacho is really the only thing that made the play look close. However, unfortunately, the throw is just a little off target. And another run will score for the Fairfield Indians. So Nunez has himself an RBI single. And that'll bring up DeAndre Gaines. Gaines got on with a single in his last at-bat. He later scored off of the double from Cameron Appling. Now, with no count, here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven up the middle. Kumai's got it, however, and he'll take it himself to second base for out number three. So the Fairfield Indians get one. They'll try to shut down the Colt 45s once again when we come back in the bottom of the second. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Goldleaf Nursery. They're a proud sponsor of tonight's Reading Colt 45s baseball game, and they are back open. Goldleaf Nursery features new statuary, including bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the second inning at Tiger Field. The score is 3-1. Fairfield Indians lead the Colt 45s. It'll be Nate Scott up to the plate for the first time this evening, facing off against Jameson Hogarth, who's back out on the mound. Hogarth gave up a run last inning, but was able to limit the damage. The Colt 45s ended up stranding a couple of runners on base, and the wind seems to show no sign of letting up here at Tiger Field. Still, we've got a little bit of a drizzle coming down. Nothing serious, but I can't imagine it's helping the grip of those pitchers. Hogarth comes set now. Here's the first pitch to Scott. High fastball. It's going to be popped up and into shallow right field. Few people giving chase, and it's going to be the right fielder, Robert Searcy, on the catch. So Scott pops out for out number one. That'll bring up Mateo Mendoza, the catcher, for the first time. Then Mendoza and the other Colt 45's catcher, Ethan Williams. As I've said many times before, they've been switching out consistently every other game, really since the season began. Now Mendoza's going to watch a first pitch curveball go in there for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count to start off Mateo Mendoza. And now he's going to lift a fastball into left field. The left fielder Edmonds is under it, and he will make the catch. So two very quick outs for Jameson Hogarth. And that'll bring up the number nine spot, Jonathan Kumai. Kumai had that two-run home run last night. And, well, he also had a couple of singles to go along with that. He was 3-for-4 on the night, as well as a walk. Now he's going to take a fastball. A little high, but it'll catch the top of the zone for strike one. Count with you, no balls as a strike. Now the next pitch. It's going to be a fastball in the outside corner for strike two. Again, Robeson, the catcher, has a little bit of trouble handling that ball. It'll be no balls and two strikes here for Jonathan Kumai. And Jameson Hogarth, it's on the verge of a very quick inning. There's an inside fastball. Almost the entire Indians defense started to walk off the field, including Hogarth himself. He thought that was strike three. Anthony Ortiz behind the plate says no. So a ball and two strikes with two outs. Here's the pitch to Kumai. In the dirt, ball two. So the count becomes two balls and two strikes. With two outs, nobody on. Score is 3-1 still here in the bottom of the second inning. Hogarth sets up once again and takes his sign. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Curveball is going to be bounced foul over to the left side. The count remains two balls and two strikes. Good effort there from Kumai, staying alive. Kumai's certainly one of those guys who can work a count, battle off a couple pitches he doesn't like, really likes to crowd home plate. He really stands just a few inches away from it, on the inside of the batter's box. Now he's going to check swing a high fastball into the right net, and the count once again stays two balls and two strikes. I don't think that was really close to the strike zone, but hey, better safe than sorry. He gets a piece of it, stays alive. Count becomes two balls and two strikes. Sorry, stays two balls and two strikes. Now the pitch. That one's going to be driven into right field for a base hit. And Jonathan Kumai wins the war of attrition there. So that'll put a man on with two outs here for the Colt 45s. Bring up the top of the order in Arif Camacho. Camacho walked in his first plate appearance. Like to give a little shout-out to our back girl, Ella. She is hustling down there on the field, picking up those bats for the Colt 45s. Now Camacho with the runner on first will look to do a job. He's got two outs. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, it's going to go past Robeson, and Kumai will easily take second. And he kind of looked like he was thinking about third for a second. Robeson took his time getting to the backstop to grab that ball. Count's going to become 1-0. Hogarth says he wants a new ball. That one's kind of wet. So now, an RBI situation for Camacho with a runner on second. He's got a chance to minimize the Indian lead here. 3-1 pitch, here it comes. In the dirt. Sorry, I said 3-1 pitch. I was looking at the score on accident. It was actually 1-0 pitch. It was in the dirt anyway for ball two. So the count becomes 2 balls, no strikes to Arif Camacho. Now the 2-0 pitch, here it is. Curveball, it's going to be bounced foul to the left side. 2 balls and a strike is the count as Camacho takes a couple steps out of the batter's box, takes a breath before stepping back in. And now it looks like rain is going to be expected for the next hour or so. 2-1 pitch, here it comes. Low fastball. Close to the zone there, but Anthony Ortiz, the home plate umpire, has kind of established a pretty tight zone tonight and stays consistent with it there. The count moves to 3 balls and a strike. Now the 3-1 pitch to Camacho. Curveball. Check swing from Camacho. The appeal over to first. Well, there is no appeal. They just say he went. So the count will move full. That was a high fastball. Camacho looked like he wanted every part of that one, and then mid-swing realized it was not a strike at all, tried to pull back, ended up falling to the ground. Now the payoff pitch, 3 balls, 2 strikes. Strike 3 called, curveball on the inside corner. And Camacho is sent back to the dugout. Colts leave a runner stranded at second base. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Gold Leaf Nursery, which is back open and wants to help you grow your own groceries. Remember, Gold Leaf Nursery features fresh fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now is the time to start preparing your garden. So head on over to Gold Leaf Nursery at 6186 Churn Creek Road.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the top of the third inning of this affair between the Reading Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. It's going to be Ike Brown coming up to the plate for the second time tonight. Brown struck out in his first at-bat. Let's see if Horseman can get it done once again against Brown. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. Going to be curveball right in there for strike one. Again, ever since the end of that first inning, Horseman's curveball has just been on point. Now the 0-1 pitch is going to be a fastball. Little high and fouled back off into the parking lot. Another car falls victim to a foul ball there as the count becomes no balls and two strikes. 0-2 pitch. Here it comes. Outside fastball, ball one. Count will move to a ball and two strikes now for Ike Brown. Brown looking to get something started with no outs. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be an off-speed. Looks like a changeup maybe. Check swing offered there from Brown, and it's going to dribble foul over to the right side. The count's going to remain. A couple of balls and a couple of strikes. Horseman takes his sign. Now he'll deliver. Here it comes. High fastball up and in on Brown. And now Ortiz, the home plate umpire, is saying that that one skimmed him right on the shoulder. So Brown gets a free base with two strikes. Kind of gets bailed out there. Not a great start for the Colt 45s in this inning. Especially with two strikes, that's not at all what you want to do as a pitcher. Unfortunately, Horseman just lost control of that one. You could tell it was close to his spot. He wanted an inside pitch there, but just goes a little too inside. And now Brown is going to run, and the hitter, Cameron Appling, is going to skyrocket one in the air, and it's going to fall down next to the third baseman, Larinaga. And now they'll pick it up and throw over to second for the force out. Well, that was an interesting play from Appling. So the runner, Ike Brown, had taken off trying to steal second base. Appling just skyrocketed an infield fly into the air. Wyatt Larinaga, the third baseman, moved over. It ended up going actually into very shallow left field. Larinaga couldn't make the catch, so it fell. The Colt 45s then picked it up and threw it over to second for the force out. So either way, they get one out of it. But now they've got Appling at first instead of Ike Brown, and really that's kind of an advantage from them as Appling is much less mobile than Brown. It'll be Braxton King up to the plate for the second time tonight. He's going to drill a curveball up the middle. Kumai's got it. He'll take it to second himself and now throw to first for the double play. Nice play there from Jonathan Kumai. Gets Horseman out of the inning quickly. We'll now head into the bottom of the third where the Colts look to minimize that two-run deficit. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Gold Leaf Nursery. They're a proud sponsor of Redding Colt 45's baseball, and they're back open. They feature new statuary, including bird bath fountains and stepping stones. So go give them a visit at 6186 Churn Creek Road, just a quarter mile from Airport Road.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH-authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning at Tiger Field. This matchup between the Redding Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. Colts trail 3-1 at the moment. They'll look to maybe tie up the game, at least score a run here, minimize that two-run lead. The bottom of the second. Bottom of the third. It's going to be Kyle Norton coming up to the plate for the second time tonight. He unfortunately grounded out in his first plate appearance. However, if you'll remember, that ground out actually was kind of what the Colt 45s intended. It was a hit-and-run call I believe it was Camacho on second, was trying to steal a third, and then just a low-effort swing from Norton on a ball that really wasn't a strike created a ground ball up the middle that did exactly what they wanted it to do, drew a throw to first from Braxton King, and then the first baseman, Judkins, was unable to throw home in time to catch Camacho, who was headed around third. And, well, that's been the only score of the game so far for the Colt 45s. Hopefully they'll change that now as Norton comes up to the plate. Norton's a big guy. He's about 6'3", 205 pounds. Left-hander. He's got power, too. There's no doubt that if he gets a hold of one, he could put it over a wall. Now he'll face off against Hogarth for the second time. Here's the 0-0 pitch. It's going to be a curveball in the dirt. Ball one. Count will become a ball and no strikes to Kyle Norton to start off the inning. Now the 1-0 pitch. Fastball catches the outside corner for strike one. Count will even up at a ball and a strike. Wind shows no sign of letting up here. The rain has let up just a bit. Still drizzling a tad bit, though. Now Norton's going to drive one into right field. That'll be more than a base hit. It's going to roll to the wall for a double. And Norton will be into second standing up. The right fielder, Searcy, tried to cut that ball off, keep it a single. However, he couldn't quite get to it. Took a little bit of a rough angle. And Norton has himself a leadoff double. It's exactly what the Colt 45s wanted out of Norton there. And that'll bring up the big power-hitting left-hander, Bryce Tweed. Tweed has yet to get an opportunity to hit the ball tonight. He was hit by a pitch in his first appearance at the plate. Now, with an RBI opportunity, let's see what he does. Well, first, he's going to watch a fastball go by outside for ball one. Tweed started off with the 1-0 count. He's got Norton leading off a second. He's being held on a decent amount. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Curveball, high and outside. 2-0 is the count. Hogarth really didn't get a good grip on that ball for that curveball. You could tell it kind of just slipped right out of his hand and did not have the movement he wanted from it. Now with two balls and no strikes, Hogarth will come set and deliver. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball three. So it looks like maybe that double shook up Hogarth a little bit as he's losing some control over that fastball and curveball. Rain is coming down a little harder now. 3-0 is the count to Bryce Tweed. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Anthony Ortiz, home plate umpire, says it's going to miss the strike zone, and Bryce Tweed once again does not get an opportunity to hit. Instead, he will take a free base over at first. So it'll be runners on first and second for the Colt 45s with no outs, bringing up Derek Ray. Ray flew out in his last at-bat. Now he's got a chance to do some serious damage here against the Indians with no outs. The middle infield of the Indians, they're doing a good job of holding that runner Norton on at second. Now Norton's going to fake a move over to third, and the defense kind of scrambles. Hogarth steps off, and, well, that's kind of what Norton wanted. He's kind of in their head, it seems, now. Now the 0-0 pitch to Ray is going to be a curveball low for ball one. Even as Hogarth started his delivery there, he was looking back at Norton on second. He didn't even turn to face home plate until he was in the downward part of his stride. Now he's going to deliver a fastball that Derek Ray taps foul back behind the plate. Count will be even up at a ball and a strike. Again, no outs here for the Colt 45s with runners on first and second. Here comes the 1-1 pitch to Ray. Swing and a miss. Strike two. That was a nice inside fastball that Ray really just swung over the top of. The count will become a ball and two strikes now to Derek Ray. He's got a battle to stay alive here. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on, and battle is exactly what he does as he fouls one off to the right side and into the parking lot. The count will remain a ball and two strikes here in the bottom of the third to Derek Ray. Then the score here is 3-1. Fairfield Indians lead, but that could change soon. Hogarth sets up. Runner goes. Here's the throw over to third. No, down to second. And he's safe at second. I don't know what Robeson, the catcher, was thinking there. It was a high fastball, way high fastball, that Robeson had to stick up his glove and kind of jump up to grab out of the air. He then looked towards third, and it looked like he was throwing towards third, but, well, he turned last second and threw over to second base. However, both runners will be safe on the double steal. It'll be runners on second and third now, as Ray faces a 3-2 count after he just now watches a curveball go outside. And now Hogarth, with two outs, is dangerously close to loading up the bases. This is an important pitch for him right here. He needs this out. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, ball four. So, load the bases is exactly what Hogarth does as Derek Ray heads on over to first base. Rain continuing to fall here at Tiger Field as we watch Blake Tweed come up to the plate for the second time tonight. Tweed, like his brother, was hit by a pitch in the first inning. Now with the bases loaded, he's got a chance to do some real damage here to the Fairfield Indians. The manager, Shannon Parks, is out there right now having a chat with Hogarth, trying to gauge where he's at. And now the rain is coming down even a little harder. It's making its way underneath the top of this pop-up and hit me in the back. And combined with the wind against my shorts and T-shirt, I'm getting a little bit cold here. Anyways, that's not really important. The important thing is Colt 45 says the base is loaded as Blake Tweed watches a fastball go by outside for ball one. Again, Robeson, the catcher, has trouble fielding that one. And, man, these are some harsh conditions to play through. I mean, we saw it earlier in the season. This Colt 45's ball club is not one to call the game until they absolutely have to, but it might get to that point here pretty quickly. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. It's going to be a high curveball, and I really think that the rain is affecting Hogarth's ability to pitch. That one absolutely slipped out of his hand. Now he's going to ask for a new ball from the umpire indeed. And they'll give him one. Again, bases loaded with a 2-0 count to Blake Tweed. If Hogarth is able to get a dry ball and regain control over some of his pitches, Tweed will have the opportunity to hopefully see a couple of strikes. Maybe put one into play, score a couple of runs here for the Colt 45s in the bottom of the third. Again, the score is 3-1, bases loaded. Here's the pitch. Low fastball, again, outside as well, so that'll be ball three. And Hogarth now is very close to walking in a run. He's got two consecutive walks already. He walked Bryce Tweed, who's standing on second, and then Derek Ray, who's on first. And now he's going to throw one in the dirt for ball four. So he does indeed walk in a run. That'll make the game 3-2. Indians still lead by one. However, bases will remain loaded with no outs. And Wyatt Larinaga headed up to the plate. So now with three consecutive outs, looks like that third base umpire is going to come out onto the mound, and he's going to feel it, see how slick it is up there. And now he's going to call over the first base umpire, and it sounds like they might come a little close to, or they might be thinking about calling this game here. Now Rick Bassetti, the general manager of the Colt 45s, is going to come out onto the field. It looks like he's chirping a little bit at the umpires. One can only imagine what he's saying. They might be telling him, he might be telling them to stop kicking around dirt on his mound. So now they're going to bring out some sort of tool to the mound. Oh, it's going to be for Hogarth. They're giving him a little chip to get the dirt out of his cleats. Well, the mud at this point. Rain continues to fall here at Tiger Field. Again, like I said earlier, Rick Bassetti and Barrett Fasking, the head coach of the Colt 45s, they are not ones to call games early on. But it is getting pretty wet here on the field, and now Hogarth continues to chip away at his cleats. I don't really want to go to break because I don't know how long this will take. It could be 10 seconds. I suppose it could be a minute or longer. If you can tell, I'm kind of shivering over here. I'm just wearing a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. And, well, this rain is really whipping against my back. Again, the score is 3-2. And now it looks like they're going to do some more work on the mound. So I'm going to say let's head to a 30-second break real quick. And we'll see what happens when we come back. I know.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning. It's Wyatt Larinaga up to the plate, again with the bases loaded. We got some issues situated on the mound. The rain continues to fall. And now Larinaga is going to foul one off to the right side. It'll be no balls and a strike to Larinaga. Again, with no outs, Hogarth previously walked in a run. And the 0-1 pitch now is going to be swung on and popped straight up and back behind the stands. The count turns 0-2. So Hogarth steps back up onto the mound and onto the rubber. The count is 0-2 to Wyatt Larinaga. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be wide. Bounces right off the back of the backstop into the glove of Robeson, and he's able to meet Bryce Tweed at home plate for out number one. So kind of a rough situation, and now they're calling the game. They are absolutely calling the game. Home plate umpire Anthony Ortiz says game over, as the mound is just too slick. Or perhaps they're just going into a delay, but I'm pretty sure they canceled. That last pitch was thrown way outside past the reach of the catcher Robeson, I think due to the fact that the pitcher Hogarth slipped on the downward motion of his pitch. And I guess they're just going to say the mound is too slick. The rain continues to fall heavily down here. And, yeah, they're calling game. Fans are going to go ahead and leave Tiger Field. We'll stick around just for a minute or two to fully ensure that we're wrapping things up here at Tiger Field. But I do indeed believe that that's going to be it for the game here tonight. They're going to try to bring out the tarp for home plate and for the mound. Once again, we'll head to a quick two-minute break, and when we come back, hopefully I'll have an update for you guys.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to this broadcast of your Reading Colt 45's baseball. We're in the midst of a rain delay here. Told you I'd have an update for you when we came back from the break. It's, well, they're just calling it a rain delay. I thought they were calling the game because the mound was too wet. However, General Manager Rick Bassetti came out onto the mic and said that they're just delaying it. They brought tarps out to cover home plate and the mound. And, well, you can see a little bit of sun in the distance, but the rain just doesn't seem to be letting up really at all here. My equipment is getting pretty wet. And until this delay subsides, we're going to go ahead and head to our regularly scheduled programming. And if the rain subsides and if we do get back to the game, well, I'll be back here and giving it to you. So with that, we'll head back to programming. I'll see you hopefully in a little while.
All volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets. Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, if you do not obey the diktat of the woke left, you will be destroyed. And it doesn't matter who you are. You can be Rainn Wilson from The Office, you know, super wokester. But if you mention that the word chest feeding is stupid, because it's stupid, then you will be destroyed. Rainn Wilson learned that this week. So Rainn Wilson, the former star of The Office, who I'm not aware has done a single thing since then, he played Dwight Schrute on The Office, and he is a wild leftist. And if you read his Twitter feed, the guy is as far left as anybody in American celebrity culture. Well, he tweeted something out, and then he had to apologize for it. Here's what he tweeted. Today I learned you can no longer say nursing or breastfeeding mother. You have to say chest feeding person. Just FYI. Okay, well, this is actually true. There are people on the left, including the BBC, I believe, which now refers to breastfeeding as chest feeding, as though a normal male chest produces milk, which it does not. And typically, you have to have breasts. Everyone has now been returned to the status of small children who don't know things. It's insane. Again, my baby daughter is 2, and she knows the difference between chests and breasts. Like, this is, like, why, what? Because she knows that mommy nursed her using her breasts. Like, what in the actual, what is going on? So Wilson tweets that today he learned that you're not supposed to say nursing or breastfeeding mother. You have to say chest feeding person because some people with breasts are male and some people with chests are female, et cetera, et cetera. He had to delete it. And then he had to tweet an apology, which of course is always the best move because people are very forgiving in our society. So he tweeted out, yesterday I tweeted a mean crack about breastfeeding versus chest feeding. A mean crack. After speaking with some trans friends and educating myself a bit more, I want to apologize for the tweet. It was adding to misinformation and meanness. I'm sorry. And again, this just underscores that for the left, misinformation just means anything they object to. It changes day by day. And you will be punished. You will be forced to do a malice struggle session online if you point out that chest feeding is an idiot term for idiots. If you point that out, Rainn Wilson, who is like a Bernie Sanders follower, must now be forced to apologize. But the apology was not enough for some fans. Now do something to materially benefit trans people, one person demanded. Now you're going to have to give us money. Do it. Trans activist Parker Malloy replied to the original tweet saying, Dwight freaking Schrute over here, sputtering nonsense straight up Breitbart. Nobody is telling anyone they have to say chest feeding. That's just not a thing. JFC, really? It's not? Then why do you have to apologize? Really? No one's saying that? Malloy went on to mock the idea of chest feeding being a mainstream word, claiming no organizations were trying to make the general public use the term in place of breast. So this is where we get into the whole, it's not happening, and it's good if it is, and you must do it or you're a bigot. And because every time the left says, "Don't, we're not going to make you say chest feeding," 2 minutes from now, this will be the typical term used by the entire mainstream media, and if you refuse to use it, they will call you a bigot and then ban you from social media. And it doesn't matter how powerful you are in our society. If you cross these people, they will destroy you. So, for example, let's say that you are a 75-year-old writer who has written more than 300 books and sold more than 500 million copies and is worth $800 million, like James Patterson. And let's say that you point out what is perfectly obvious from the entire publishing industry these days, which is that intersectional credentials win you publication. And if you're a white male, you are at a severe disadvantage in terms of getting published. This is obviously true. It's so true that you have people who are now masquerading as minorities in order to publish books, and then when they're found out, then it's a big scandal. And it's actually happened with a book written by a woman all about illegal migration from Central and Latin America into the United States. And it turned out that she was not Latin American. And this means that she was canceled because of this. The simple fact of the matter is that back in like 1850, you had to have women masquerading as men to get published. Today, you have to masquerade as a member of a sexual, racial, or gender, quote unquote, minority in order to be published. Those are like extra points on your SAT scores at Harvard these days. So this is clearly true. And if you talk to any person in the publishing industry, you know this is true. They openly say that they are seeking intersectional candidates as authors. So James Patterson pointed this out. He said in an interview with the Sunday Times in London, he said white male authors faced a problem. He said, quote, what's that all about? Can you get a job? Yes. Is it harder? Yes. It's even harder for older writers. You don't meet many 52-year-old white males. Okay, that is statistically true. This is all true. But this is bad. This is very, very bad. So all of the Twitter users went off on him. It was just terrible, just awful. Okay, and then they cite a bunch of surveys done by publishers trying to determine how many of their contributors were white, black, and Hispanic. Okay, but they say that, like, the New York Times did one of these things in 2020 saying 11% of books written in 2018 were by authors of color. But that's not what Patterson's talking about. He's talking about the authors that are most prized by the publishers who are going to, if you write a fiction book and you submit it to a publishing company, it is harder to get that book published of equal quality if you're white than if you're black. There is an affirmative action program in place of publishers. Everyone in the publishing industry knows this. Every agent will tell you this. As somebody who's quite familiar with the publishing industry, I can tell you this happens to be the case. Patterson is not wrong. I mean, he's intimately familiar with all of this. Okay, but then Patterson had to tweet an apology. Quote, and it's not just an apology for saying, oh, I got the stats wrong, my bad, you know, I guess I misinterpreted. Here's what he had to say. It's amazing. Quote, I apologize for saying white male writers have trouble finding work is a form of racism. Okay, that's even further. I'm right. White male writers are having trouble finding work, but that's not racism. If they're being discriminated against because they are white males, that is not racism, according to James Patterson. I absolutely do not believe that racism is practiced against white writers. Please know that I strongly support a diversity of voices being heard in literature, in Hollywood, everywhere. So now it's not just that he's not even claiming that he was wrong. He's claiming that it can never be racist to deny a white male a job. It cannot be racist to discriminate against white males. That's not possible. Okay, the moral gap in the country is growing wider by the day. That is not going to come back together. It's not going to come back together, which means that the divides in the country are going to be exacerbated more and more often unless we get some localism in here real, real damn fast. Joe Biden, however, is not in favor of localism. So at the same time that he's wrecking the economy, he's also in favor of nationalizing most issues, which is why even as we approach the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned, the White House is now talking about cramming down national policy by executive order that is going to prevent states from legislating how they wish on abortion. According to the New York Times, President Biden's top aides are weighing whether he can or should take a series of executive actions to help women in Republican-controlled states obtain abortions if the Supreme Court eliminates a woman's right to end her pregnancy, according to senior administration officials. First of all, you really have to love the language of the New York Times. A woman's right to end her pregnancy. Oh, you mean a woman's right to kill her unborn child? Is that what you're talking about? Her quote-unquote right to kill an unborn child? Some of the ideas under consideration include declaring a national public health emergency. And some of us were very displeased with the idea of declaring public health emergencies all the time, or declaring things national emergencies because we felt like that was a tool that was going to swing back around. Yeah, we're here. Readying the Justice Department to fight any attempt by states to criminalize travel for the purpose of obtaining an abortion, and asserting that FDA regulations granting approval to abortion medications preempt any state bans, the official said. Well, I'm not sure how that's going to work. So the idea here is that if the FDA says that you can use a drug and a state says you can't use a drug, that magically the state law is now trumped. And he's going to do this via executive order, right? He's not going to do this via the legislature. According to Maria Torres, Senior Director of Policy Development and Strategy at Planned Parenthood, we are at a crisis moment for abortion access in this country. Officials at all levels of government must respond, including the executive branch. But Biden and his team, they're talking about legal and policy vetting of potential executive actions. They're attempting to trump all state law via the White House. But don't worry, guys. They're very much in favor of democracy. They love democracy. They love it so much that it can't be allowed to operate. Joe Biden is just going to tell everybody what to do from the top level down. That's the really important thing to remember. Coming up, Kamala Harris is leading up a new, brand new misinformation board. You thought that thing was dead? Wrong you were. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Summer is here, and it's going to sizzle. Now's the time for a brand new paint job to protect your vehicle from the summer sun. At Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, Mako repairs accident damage, dents, and dings. They can even straighten your frame. Mako is number one in value and is approximately one-third less than traditional shops. Plus, they offer a free estimate and works with most major insurance companies. Mako, good work for a great price. Uh-oh, better call Mako, 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
To get started.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
1 in 4 people have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also an actor and advocate for disability inclusion across all aspects of life. The disability community is passionate, strong, powerful. We have so much to offer and deserve to be included in society. We've got a trusted ally by our side. HR Seals is delivering services, advocacy, and local support that elevate the communities for everyone. That's my HR Seals. Make it yours. HRSeals.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, I did not have, I will tell you, I did not have on my 2022 bingo card, Democrats 2022 slogan, drag queen for the children. I didn't have that. But apparently this is what they've decided to run on, is trans the kids, drag queens in every classroom. I'm amazed. Maybe I shouldn't be, because this is actually what they believe. They've decided to, it's Pride Month after all, and they are proud of the fact that they wish for small children to be gender confused by sexually adolescent adults. And when I say sexually adolescent, I mean, if you wish to purvey your sexual lives to children, this means you're kind of adolescent. It just does. I'm not even talking about what kind of sex you wish to have. I'm saying if you wish to parade your gender identity before children, it's because you're a narcissistic adolescent. Anyway, Mayor Eric Adams of New York City, he tweeted, "Drag storytellers and the libraries and schools that support them are advancing a love of diversity, personal expression, and literacy that is core to what our city embraces. It is core to being a New Yorker. Drag queens in the classroom, reading to your kids, that is the core." Because did you know that only drag queens can read? Were you on... I know, you thought, wait a second, I thought the literacy rate in the United States is actually really, really high, and virtually everybody who's an adult can read. I mean, isn't that sort of the predicate to living in a Western civilized society? Like, I thought, actually, all over the world, most people can read. Like, I thought that that's been sort of common for, you know, a century or so. No, it turns out only drag queens can read, which is why you need them in the classroom to read to your kids. Well, dressed up in drag, according to Mayor Eric Adams. So the theme in New York is, push people in front of the subway and drag queens in the classroom. Why are people moving to Florida? I don't understand. Why? We need to build a wall here in Florida and keep the New Yorkers out. Adams, he goes, "Drag storytellers, the libraries and schools that support them are advancing a love of diversity, personal expression, and literacy that is core to what our city embraces." By the way, got to point out in the statement, personal expression. Why is love of personal expression important to children? The personal expression, not of the children, by the way. The personal expression of the adults. First of all, I'm not generally of the opinion that the personal expression of kids is the paramount concern in raising them. Because kids express themselves in a variety of idiotic ways, including screaming at their parents, trying to hit people, pooping on the floor, etc. Personal expression among small kids typically does not take the form of writing novels. Nonetheless, Eric Adams continues, "At a time when our LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign unhappy but happy emoji communities are under increased attack across this country, we must use our education system to educate. The goal is not only for our children to be academically smart, but also emotionally intelligent. And nothing says emotional intelligence like confusing five-year-olds about what kind of clothes are good for boys to wear." That's what education is all about, gang. Kids in New York City are either being aborted or they're being brought up in schools where they can't read. But the important thing is they know that some dudes like to wear women's clothing. That's vital, vital stuff happening in New York City, America's greatest city. And here's the thing. The government just wants to make sure that anybody who fights this sort of stuff is silenced. It's very important that it be silenced. So, for example, the Daily Wire now reports that Kamala Harris is going to be heading up a new White House task force aimed at addressing online harassment and abuse. Now, I know you're thinking, didn't we just do this like 5 minutes ago with that disinformation governance board that was run by that crazy lady, like the crazy theater kid who was singing Mary Poppins songs about disinformation? That one? And we stopped it? Nope, you didn't stop it. They just brought it back with the greatest of all politicians, Kamala Harris. She is so great at this. Man, she's amazing at this. Hey, how amazing is she at this? Well, yesterday, she was out there talking about the importance of the internet and the predictive text mechanism that is Kamala Harris had some words.
"Well, the internet is an essential part of life in the 21st century. Mm. Can't get around it. Can't get around without it."
Profound words. Profound words from Vice President Google. She's great at this. The task force, according to Thursday's announcement, plans to address all online harassment and disinformation, but will also specifically focus on the disproportionate online harassment faced by women and girls and people within the LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign weird eggplant emoji community. The White House issued a press release detailing the task force creation and a number of its objectives going forward. Today, President Biden will sign a presidential memorandum establishing the White House task force to address online harassment and abuse, responding to the need for government leadership to address online harms, which disproportionately affect women, girls, people of color, LGBTQIA plus minus, peach emoji of individuals, the press release stated, going on to note that the task force would include Attorney General Merrick Garland and Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, among others. So people said a mean thing to me online. Get the Attorney General on the line. Get him on the line. I mean, they're firebombing pro-life clinics over here. He's busy, man. Somebody said that a boy is a boy online. We've got to stop that. Got to nip that in the bud. And the Surgeon General, we need him on board. That idiot who thinks that it's time to triple vax infants. We need his input. This is a health issue. The task force's primary goal will be to, quote, produce recommendations for the federal government, state government, technology platform, schools, and other public and private entities to prevent and address technology-facilitated gender-based violence, including a focus on the nexus between online misogyny and radicalization to violence. The task force was also to be instrumental in, quote, developing programs and policies to address the disproportionate impact of online harassment upon blah, 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 acronym. So the White House was asked about this. Karine Jean-Pierre, our incompetent, brand new White House press secretary, who is super incompetent, but also very intersectional. She could not explain why this is any different than the disinformation board that was just killed.
On the online policy task force that the vice president's leading, that's getting kicked off today, on a background call last night, we were told that it's going to be different from the disinformation governance board in that it's going to focus on illegal conduct online. But the memo creating it was a little bit broader and mentioned, and I'm quoting from the document, quote, online harassment, abuse, and disinformation campaigns targeting women and LGBTQI plus individuals who are public and political figures. Could you clear up the disinformation charge?
So I would need to talk to her team. I was not on the background call, so that specific language that you're providing to me, I would just have to check in with her.
No, we don't. We have no idea. She has no. Does she even know what's going on at the White House? Does she even know, or is like this entire charade about bringing out a human who's intersectional to just be like, I have no idea what you're talking about? And then we're like, oh my God, she's amazing at her job. I mean, after all, she has qualifications, very significant qualifications. Like tweeting crazy conspiracy theories about the 2008 gubernatorial election and also being kind of anti-Semitic about boycotts, investment, and sanctions. And also she is black and a lesbian. So, I mean, let's be real. That's real. I mean, that's what matters most here. Again, if she were competent in her job, that'd be one thing, but she obviously is not. But beyond that, if you think that this White House is not interested in censoring your ability to express yourself online, counter to the prevailing views of the left, wrong you are. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. You want your biology to work the way that it is supposed to. Now, the simple fact in the matter of the matter is that 52% of men in the United States between the ages of 40 and 70 will experience some form of erectile dysfunction. But that is a problem you can get fixed. You need to go to GetRoman.com/Ben right now. Speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about ED. Get $15 off your first month of treatment. Roman Ready means that your body is working when you need it to work. There's the self-assurance that comes from knowing that things are not going to fail. Roman's system is completely confidential, totally discreet, no big logos, no labels on packages. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, convenient, and discreet. Getting started? Super simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben, complete an online visit today. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional and get the problem taken care of. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben today. If you're prescribed, get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this summer. Roman Ready. Alrighty, so, meanwhile, Joe Biden is still stumbling around. It is amazing to watch the president of the United States just be non-functional. Yesterday, there was a very awkward moment when he reached out with sympathy to a family of a person who dropped dead. Those are his words. Here is Joe Biden not firing on all cylinders here.
I spoke with the CEO of Joanne Stores. Wade is here. Wade, stand up so everybody sees you here. Wade McCollum. And by the way, my sympathies to the family of your CFO, who dropped dead very unexpectedly. My best to their family. It's tough stuff.
Geriatric malfunctioning and drag queens in the library for your kids. The Democratic Platform 2022. Also, if you object, Kamala Harris will be at your door, which is a frightening prospect. And meanwhile, I am highly amused, I will say, to see that people are shocked and appalled that some SpaceX employees have now been fired because they sent a letter critical of Elon Musk. According to the Wall Street Journal, SpaceX fired several employees involved in a letter that criticized Elon Musk and the way the company applied internal rules, according to an email to staff from SpaceX's president and people familiar with it. Lynn Shotwell, SpaceX's president, said the company conducted an investigation and decided to terminate a number of employees who participated in the effort, according to the email, a copy of which was viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Her email didn't say how many people the company let go. The number couldn't immediately be determined. Some employees recently wrote a letter that called Musk's public statements and behavior embarrassing and distracting. The letter asked SpaceX management to publicly separate the company from Musk's personal brand. And so they got fired. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes is the way that this works. I love that the employees of these companies think they can say whatever they want about the bosses of the company and nothing will happen. This is the generation of idiots we have bred. You know what happens at this company, presumably, if you sign a letter talking about how, you know, I'm an embarrassment to Daily Wire? Well, enjoy unemployment, gang. That's how that works. We got to more on all this in just one second. First, let's talk about the simple fact you need to protect your home. Summer's a busy time. I'm going to be away from home. That means I want to make sure that my home is safe. That's why I have Ring. So it's not just that video doorbell, right? It's not just somebody knocks on your door and now you know who's there. That's great and all, but they also have an alarm. Ring Alarm is an award-winning home security system.
All righty, folks. Well, we are here at Tiger Field, and the rain just keeps on coming down. So they finally called it here. The game will not resume tonight. They've tarped up what they can on the field, and there's going to be a lot of puddles out there, however. So that's going to be it for us tonight. We're just going to resume normal broadcasting for the rest of the night. And signing off here from Tiger Field, I'm Austin White. Have a great rest of your night, folks.
If anything happens, professional monitoring will call me and can request emergency services. You might not have known it, but it's true. Ring has that award-winning alarm. So don't leave that option off the table this busy summer season. Protect your home the same way that I do. Go to ring.com/Shapiro. Again, that is ring.com/Shapiro. Okay, so here at Daily Wire, this week was a big week. We released a brand new movie with Gina Carano, uncanceled, back and better than ever. The movie is Terror on the Prairie. Gina is going to join us on the line in just a moment to tell the story of how she ended up working with us here at Daily Wire and what is so special about Terror on the Prairie. Stick around. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomenon, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Gina Carano. She is the producer and star of the brand new Daily Wire film, Terror on the Prairie. It's fantastic. You can member over at dailywire.com/subscribe so you can watch Gina in action. Gina, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's talk about how this whole thing started. So you and I actually got in touch right after you were canceled by Disney Plus for the great crime of mentioning that people should be nice to each other, which is really, really, really bad. And so they fired you. And maybe you can tell that story about how that went down.
I was just basically going to put the covers over my head for about a month. This was like a year ago, right? A year ago now. And my manager was calling me. He said, you know, Ben Shapiro is trying to get in touch with you. And actually, Dana White was texting me, which was a surprise. He was like, hey, Ben Shapiro is trying to get in touch with you. And oddly enough, when I was starting kind of my journey into understanding, because I've never been political, I've never been interested before 2020. But when I was starting my journey to kind of understanding what was going on, one of your books was Facts Don't Care About Your Feelings was the first book that I got and read. And so then I'm like, well, this is interesting. Okay, so Ben's going to get a hold of me. So we got on the phone and you... You basically said, you know, you have to punch back and you have to punch back immediately. You have to fight this. And it took me out of the place that I was in, which was, oh my gosh, my life is never going to be the same. I'm going to just completely, have to deal with this whenever I can get myself up again. But, you helped me kind of get motivated to punch back. And so here we are. Over a year later. And it's absolutely amazing. It's surreal.
So, Gina, I mean, first of all, it took a lot of courage to do what you did, because the way that it works in Hollywood is that they cancel you, they throw you out of a job, and then they essentially want you to beg for scraps at their door for the next several years. You have to earn your way back into doing bit parts by essentially apologizing incessantly for everything that you believe. And if you perform enough woke rituals, then maybe at some point they'll start casting you, you know, way lower than you were originally cast, and maybe you'll work your way back to the point where you can work semi-regularly. But instead, you decided that, and this is the bravest move, you decided that they can really only cancel you if you wish to be canceled in this culture, so long as there are people out there to support you.
Right. And I was thinking, gosh, this is going to take a decade to get back where I'd gotten. You know, I worked my entire life. I've never had any handouts in a career. You know, I've worked. I've never compromised myself. I've done things by the book, and... you know, it was 10 years of fighting. It was 10 years of acting. And, you know, basically what I saw was happening in the last, you know, 2.5 years with everything from politics to how our country and globally, you know, responded to the COVID-19 crisis and everything. I just felt like every morning I woke up, I felt like I needed to say something. I needed to just, you know, have people think, you know, and so I would post quotes and memes and things. Just to have people think for themselves and to kind of start thinking, and everybody was holding their breath. Nobody was saying a word, especially in my industry. And, you know, everybody was like raising their hands for like the cool causes that would let you walk down the red carpet and be accepted. But nobody is really raising their hands in defiance against, you know, something that we could all get on board with, which is just complete, you know, overreach of government. And, so yeah, I didn't feel like holding my breath. And then, you know, then getting canceled, I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to take 10 years. I mean, if I ever even get back there. And so, the opportunity you gave me, I think has inspired so many people. We were just at the premiere the other night and all of these artists from everywhere came to fill up 3 movie theaters for our premiere. And all of these people, you can feel the thirst that people need, you know, hope out there that they're going to have a place to go to make art that where they don't have to compromise and sell their souls for their jobs, and that they're going to actually find a place of belonging. And so what we're doing here is completely necessary. It needs to happen. And I think just this movie in itself has inspired people and artists to come out and start working hard, to create more opportunity and more art that we can just keep going.
Well, the movie is great. It's Terror on the Prairie. It's directed by Michael Polish. Gina, how did you decide that this is the script that you wanted to do? Because I know we threw a lot of scripts by you. There were a lot of options on the table in front of you. How did you decide this is the one you wanted?
Well, so we were originally planned on doing White Knuckle, this Strucker movie, which is a serial killer movie, and we had a really good script there. But we needed to, we weren't sure if the SAG union was going to enforce their mandates on us, and I think, you know, we were all on board of not letting that happen because the mandates are still actually happening and absolutely ridiculous. And so we decided to go with a non-union movie, and our director's from Montana. And when we had read all of the scripts, the Terror on the Prairie was one that really stood out, but we weren't sure if we wanted to make a Western or not. So we kind of went with a, you know, White Knuckle, which is a serial killer movie. But when that one wasn't going to work because we would have done a union movie, we decided to go with Terror on the Prairie, which I think ends up being the exact movie that we needed to do. It's about a family coming together, going through some really hard times, homesteading, starting over from scratch. You know, and I think it's kind of a good analogy of what's happening with our movement of, you know, offering, you know, a new path and forging a new frontier in art and movie making. So we're basically starting out on the plains in the middle of nowhere, you know, and it's not easy, but it's a dream and it's passion and it's working together as a family. And, you know, I think that all of those things kind of ring true. So it really ends up being the perfect movie for us to have done. And it wasn't easy. There was horses, there was babies. But I think, you know, I really do think we had a blessed set. I think that when you make the right decisions, you know, not that's the easier decisions, but when you make the right decisions and you're walking along your path and you know that's your path, I think that, you know, I feel like God kind of blesses that experience, and our situation and our movie was definitely blessed. And it's just a really cool, I mean, I don't even like watching things that I'm in, but I really love this movie because it's quiet. It's not all flashy and bright. It's, very quiet and still, and in a world where movies are nothing but serial, you know, or superheroes, and like everything on TV looks like Skittles. It's all just like eye candy and you know, all bunch of cuts, and in our movie it's so natural, and it's nature, and it's the elements, and it's the, you know, the sound is like exact, it's quiet, and it's dirty. It's such a cool movie, and I'm just so proud of it.
Well, we're all definitely all proud of it, and we're definitely proud to be associated with Gina Carano. Check out the movie Terror on the Prairie. You have to be a member over at dailywire.com. We are busting at the seams with new membership. You should join up too. We have tons of great stuff out there, including Gina's brand new movie Terror on the Prairie. Gina, congratulations, and it's been an honor to work with you on this.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. It's thank you for getting me out of my covers and on the right track to start punching back. You're inspiring a lot of people, so we appreciate you.
And thanks so much, Gina. All righty, we've reached the end of today's broadcast, but we'll be back here with much, much more on Monday. So make sure that you rest up, because I'm sure there'll be a lot more news then. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Former President Trump criticized former Vice President Pence as lacking courage for refusing to carry out a plan to overturn the 2020 election results, echoing a tweet Mr. Trump sent January 6th. As the country's second-in-command sheltered from a riot at the U.S. Capitol.
Mike Pence had a chance to be great. He had a chance to be, frankly, historic. But just like Bill Barr and the rest of these weak people, Mike, and I say it sadly because I like him, but Mike did not have the courage to act.
In a keynote speech at the Faith and Freedom Christian Political Conference in Nashville Friday, the former president delivered a lengthy speech against what he calls a ludicrous narrative and witch hunt as the House committee continues its investigation into his perceived role in the January 6th melee. Democrat and Republican senators are at odds over just how to keep firearms from dangerous people as they try to finalize details of gun legislation.
The bargainers say they remain divided over how to define abusive dating partners so they could be legally barred from purchasing firearms. Disagreements are also unresolved over proposals to send money to states that have red flag laws that let authorities temporarily confiscate guns from people deemed dangerous by courts, and to other states for their own violence prevention programs. Senators have said a deal must be completed and written into legislative language by week's end if Congress is to vote by next week. After that is a July 4th recess. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Another turbulent day for airline travelers in the U.S. More than 1,100 flights canceled by early afternoon Friday. Airlines trying to recover from storms that raked the central eastern parts of the country. 1,700 canceled flights on Thursday. A lot of frustrated flyers in the queue. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, so this bike feels like he's capable of a little more than just trips to the convenience store.
Oh, also, he wants to let you know that you can buy a gallon of ice cream instead of a pint every time. Those are his words. So he said roughly like, blink the last wheel. It doesn't really translate, but the way he said it was super funny.
Get 24/7 roadside assistance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Roadside assistance subject to policy terms and limits and may require comprehensive coverage.
Ukrainian officials are claiming to have disabled a Russian warship with Harpoon missiles.
The Ukrainian Navy claims to have struck the Vasily Bek, a Russian ship used to carry personnel, ammunition, and air defense systems to Snake Island, a strategic spot in the Black Sea vital in the defensive sea lanes from the port of Odessa. The island's 20 miles off the coast and featured memorably early on in the war when Ukrainian guards stationed there used colorful language to defy Russian orders to surrender.
Jennifer King reporting. Small Italian fashion producers are still allowed to export to Russia, despite sanctions, as long as the wholesale price is under 300 euros. But they're having a hard time getting paid due to restrictions tied to the financial sector. Italy is the largest producer of global luxury goods in the world, making 40% of high-end apparel, footwear, and accessories. More news at townhall.com. Here at home, emergency room nurses say they are being threatened and physically attacked.
Supporters say it's a nationwide problem. Emergency department nurses at the largest hospital in Vermont say almost 8 in 10 of them have been physically assaulted in the past year. Strangulation, broken ribs, noses, arms, and cheekbones, concussions, contusions, lacerations, permanent hearing loss, jaw fractures, bites, and sexual assaults, says an emergency room nurse at the University of Vermont Medical Center. Amanda Young says the nurses have been threatened with knives, a hatchet, and a chainsaw. They want a metal detector, 24-hour security, and more. The medical center says it's trying, but it's wrestling with the challenges of making the changes. I'm Rita Foley.
Check out more on these stories by logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrom.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, the Joe session is here. According to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. stocks tumbled on Thursday, sending the Dow Jones Industrial Average below 30,000 for the first time since January 2021, as volatility continued to rock the market. Major indices have notched big declines in 2022 as high inflation, rising interest rates, growing concerns about corporate profits and economic growth dent investors' appetite for risk. The blue chips are down 18% this year. The S&P 500 is down 23%. The tech-heavy NASDAQ composite has fallen 32%. Stocks did rally a little bit on Wednesday, but then dropped again on Thursday. Optimism fizzled. Stocks declined across the market as investors reassessed the risks ahead. Again, these are really, really poor numbers, and they're reflective of underlying economic uncertainty driven by the simple fact that the Biden administration not only has no plan, all of their plans are bad. This is the Joe session. We are in the middle of Joe Biden's recession because the fact is that this was not supposed to happen. I said when Joe Biden took office that he was the luckiest son of a gun ever to take the office, not only because of the wonderful surprise it must be to him every morning to realize that he's president anew, but also because he was inheriting this awful situation that we were already coming out of. Basically, the patient had been put into an artificial coma, and now the patient was coming out of it and was on the road to recovery. And the new doctor, all the new doctor had to do was just stand there and then smile and give a good prognosis, and that's all. And instead, the new doctor came in and started putting leeches all over the patient and then was surprised when the bloodletting actually was bad for the patient. That's precisely what happened. Go back to my podcast the day that Joe Biden took office, and I said, this guy is going to have a very easy 2 years. Okay, I was wrong because I didn't think it was possible for him to screw this up this badly. Again, I should have listened to Barack Obama, who said, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up. Amazing. He was given a vaccine. He was given a new variant. By the way, the new Omicron variant was actually quite good in the sense that it actually gave widespread immunity with very low risk of death to a huge swath of the population, even faster and more durable than the vaccine did for a lot of people. So he was given the vaccine, a less viral variant in a more viral but less deadly variant in Omicron. He was given an economy in a full state of recovery. Right? The economy was ready and rip-roaring and ready to go. And all he had to do was stand, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He had to, quote-unquote, build back better and restructure the entire American economy with new spending and regulations and tax proposals. And so what we get now is an ESG-governed stock market that is basically ideologically committed but economically undercapitalized now, and now it's becoming undercapitalized because of all of the measures that are being taken. All of this is a real problem. And as the Wall Street Journal points out, the U.S. economy is starting to slow. I mean, like technically slow. The U.S. economy is starting to slow under the combined weight of soaring inflation and climbing interest rates, including the highest mortgage rates since 2008. Recent reports show sharp declines in key sectors, raising the prospects of a stalled economic recovery and possibly a recession. Home construction across the United States fell sharply in May, the Commerce Department said on Thursday. Factories in the Mid-Atlantic region reduced activity for the first time in 2 years this month, the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia said, and Americans broadly cut spending at retailers for the first time this year in May, the Commerce Department said earlier this week. Economists have slashed their projections for second quarter output growth in recent days. One closely watched forecast, the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta's GPN Now Tracker estimates the gross domestic product is on track to remain unchanged at an annual rate over the 3 months through June 30th. Output fell at 1.5% annual rate in the first quarter. We were told that when it fell, that was sort of an artificial decline in the first quarter. But as it turns out, now it looks like negative growth in one quarter, zero growth in a second quarter. If that's not a recession, it is right on the verge of a recession. And given the fact that the Federal Reserve is about to kick in these higher interest rates and to increase them rather dramatically over the rest of the course of the year, you can bet your bottom dollar, and this is what most people are doing, that a recession is just around the corner. According to the Wall Street Journal, those figures suggested that persistent supply shortages, a 40-year high in inflation, and the Federal Reserve's aggressive efforts to tame price pressures by raising interest rates are cooling the world's largest economy. The Fed on Wednesday raised its benchmark interest rate by 0.75 percentage points. That's the biggest increase since 1994. The moves have helped push up borrowing costs for consumers and businesses, meaning that not only are prices for goods and services rising, so is the cost of loans that are used to buy houses, cars, and other items. Freddie Mac said Thursday the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage soared to 5.78% this week. That is a really high rate. That is the highest rate in more than 13 years. And again, stocks are tumbling. So you got mortgage rates going up. You got your stock market investments going down. You've got people buying less. And you've got the Federal Reserve raising the interest rates. All of that is a recipe for recession. And we are there. Again, those mortgage interest rates, that is devastating to a lot of folks. The higher cost of an interest rate over the course of a 30-year loan is really, really significant. If you're talking about the difference between a 3% rate and a 6% rate on a mortgage, which is what we are talking about in terms of changing on the mortgage rate over the course of the last 3-4 months alone, if you're talking about like a $250,000 home, according to the Washington Post, over the course of the loan, you will pay an additional $128,000 on that loan just because of that 3% interest rate increase. If you're talking about a $500,000 home, you're talking about paying over the course of the life of the loan $256,000 more. And if you're talking about a $750,000 home, you're talking about $384,000 more. I mean, these are big, big numbers for people. And again, you can't blame that on Ukraine. You cannot blame that on COVID. You can only blame that on the person who is in charge and the people that he left in charge. Again, there's a good case to be made that Jerome Powell should have been fired. I mean, the guy had one job and he blew it. His job was keep inflation under control. And somehow he ends up with a 40-year high in inflation and he gets to keep his job? And we're supposed to rely upon him? Meanwhile, Joe Biden is saying that a recession is not inevitable. He said they shouldn't believe a warning. They should just say, let's see, which is correct. And from my perspective, you talked about a recession. First of all, it's not inevitable. Secondly, we're in a stronger position than any nation in the world to overcome this inflation. If it's my fault, why is it the case that in every other major industrial country in the world, inflation is higher? You ask yourself that. I'm not being a wise guy. Well, he's not even capable of being a wise guy. If you look at inflation rates by country right now, the United States is not, in fact, the lowest of any industrialized nation. It is not true by a long shot. The latest figures on inflation for the following countries, all lower than the United States. Germany is 7.9%, France 5.2%, Japan 2.5%, India 7.4%, Canada and Italy 6.8%, Saudi Arabia 2.2%. Meanwhile, data released last week showed the U.S. inflation rose in May to a four-decade high of 8.6%. So where are all the fact checkers? Meanwhile, the price of gas continues to skyrocket, and the preferred solution of this administration, which is that we not drill, is starting to look real bad. So Karine Jean-Pierre continues to double down on this. It is unbelievable. Again, an administration where ideology trumps the simple facts on the ground. Karine Jean-Pierre, incompetent White House press secretary, explaining, we definitely don't need to drill more. Also, we need to ask the oil companies to produce more without actually drilling more. Because, again, it's just about finding somebody to blame.
That is what the problem is. We need them to actually refine the crude oil, which is not happening, and that's what we're calling on oil companies
not
to do.
Why drill more here in the U.S., though?
Because we don't need to do that. What we need them to do is, with the oil that's out there, we need them to refine that oil so that the capacity could go up and then prices would go down, okay. Inherently go down.
And so, I know the president once said that he was going to end fossil fuel. Is that now off the table?
No, we are going to continue to move forward with our clean energy proposal, our climate change proposal.
So we need more production. We need more refineries doing more refining. Also, we want all of that to stop. That sort of conflicting message is probably not going to result in more production. Again, if I have a dollar to invest today, am I going to invest it in the oil industry knowing it's going to take a while for that dollar to actually turn out a benefit? When you invest a dollar in an oil company, it's not because that dollar is now going to produce oil tomorrow. It's because that dollar is going to produce oil a couple of years from now, 3, 4, 5 years from now. But if you have no faith that the government is going to allow for that to happen 3, 4, 5 years from now, why are you going to invest right now? A future possibility of supply affects price today. But this administration likes to pretend that that's not happening. Meanwhile, they've been sending all of their idiot spokespeople out there to claim that we should just buy more fuel-efficient vehicles. Well, here's the problem, guys. I mean, number one, fuel-efficient vehicles, pretty expensive. Number two, you can't even get one. Okay, I ordered a Tesla back in, like, October. It was supposed to be delivered in May. It is currently nearly the end of June. We're getting toward the end of June. It probably ain't going to arrive till August, September, at best, given what's going on in the world economy right now. The Wall Street Journal is pointing out that car shoppers looking for more fuel-efficient vehicles, they literally cannot buy them. Quote, with gasoline prices topping $5 a gallon, fuel economy is suddenly top of mind again for car shoppers, reinvigorating interest in the small car sedans and hybrids that have fallen out of favor in recent years. The problem, those are among the vehicles in the shortest supply. In recent months, the average price of gasoline in the United States has soared to new records, pushing up fuel costs for drivers and prompting many Americans to seek out smaller, more economical rides, dealers and executives say. The shift is sending yet another shockwave through the car business, which has spent much of the past decade giving priority to pricey, fuel-thirsty pickups and SUVs that drive big profits. Supply chain disruptions have further complicated the market, leaving dealership lots sparse of any type of vehicle, both new and used, and automakers are scrambling to restock. Right now, if you wish to buy a compact car or a hybrid, right now, the hybrid, they only have 22 days worth of hybrids in stock. These are not numbers that are going to help you cure your high gasoline prices by bringing new green energy on the market. It's more on this in just 1 second. First, I've had my Helix Sleep mattress for years. I love it. It's just great. And the reason I love it is because it's made just for me. It was super easy to order. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. It came directly to us. We unboxed it, inflated right in front of us, popped it on the bed frame. Good to go. Helix Sleep has a quiz. It takes just 2 minutes to complete. It matches your body type and sleep preference to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody is unique. Helix knows that. They have several different mattress models to choose from. They've got soft, medium, firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. Mattresses great for spinal alignment to prevent morning aches and pains. Even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. I took the Helix quiz, and I was matched with a particular mattress that is firm but really, really breathable. I tend to sleep on my stomach, so I need it firm. And also, I tend to heat up at night. If you're looking for a mattress made just for you, go to helixsleep.com/Ben. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. 10-year warranty. Try it out for 100 nights risk-free, so you got nothing to lose. For a limited time, Helix is offering up to $350 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. This is their best offer yet. Hurry on over to helixsleep.com/Ben. All right, coming up, the Biden administration keeps saying that they don't want to invest more in the oil industry. Goldman Sachs is like, hey, you want to know why you're paying too much money for gas right now? It's because we didn't invest in the oil industry. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Your friendly oil change, Premier and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is amazing how all of these completely unexpected and unforeseeable economic circumstances were completely foreseeable and expected. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs is out there saying, yeah, you know, we probably should have invested a little bit more in, you know, the oil industry. Instead of trying to green the oil industry, maybe we should have let them do what they actually do. According to Wendell Husebo, who's reporting for Breitbart, American energy is suffering from a lack of long-term investment, which temporary fixes cannot alleviate, global head of commodities at Goldman Sachs, Jeff Curry, said on Thursday. Downplaying the Ukrainian war's impact on oil prices, Curry said soaring energy prices are due to a lack of U.S. investments in the fossil fuel sector. The global slowdown, let's say it's Fed-induced, Curry said about the Federal Reserve increasing rates to combat inflation. It may create a pullback in oil prices, but it is not a long-term fix. I want to emphasize demand destruction or demand slowdown is not a fix to this problem. In other words, we need more supply. But if nobody's investing because everybody believes there's going to be a crackdown, that's a problem. What are the reasons for the lack of capital investment, Curry asked. He named ESG, Environmental Social Corporate Governance. Curry says too much focus on left-wing investment strategies is one of the main reasons the U.S. is unprepared for energy price shocks produced by a variety of factors. In other words, it looks a lot like the European energy policy, which was, we are going to crack down on these oil companies. We need to stop them from producing the oil. And then quietly, sotto voce, to Vladimir Putin, if you can keep shipping in the oil, that would be great because we have to keep our economy running. And this is all the reflection of really crappy policy. And the oil companies have pointed out that while Joe Biden is telling them that they need to increase production, he's preventing them from increasing production. ExxonMobil responded by saying they've been in regular contact with the administration to remind them of the extraordinary efforts the company has made in investing in energy production. They say that's more than any other company. The company said in the short term, the U.S. government could enact measures often used in emergencies following hurricanes or other supply disruptions, such as waivers of Jones Act provisions and some fuel specifications to increase supplies. Longer term, government can promote investment through clear and consistent policy that supports U.S. resource development, such as regular and predictable lease sales, as well as streamlined regulatory approval and support for infrastructure such as pipelines. Again, this is all just common sense stuff. The simple fact is, if you make business easier to do, you will get more supply. This will bring down the prices because demand is relatively stable right now. And when you do that, inflation will be crushed. Instead, you have not only been hit with an exogenous bottleneck in the supply chain, you've exacerbated that bottleneck with bad regulatory policy and proposals for new taxes and global taxes on corporations. And then you are shocked when the supply continues to decrease. When you're shocked when the economic coma that these companies went through in 2020, 2021 is exacerbated. You don't get to play that game. There's one person who owns this recession, and his name is Joe Biden. That does not mean that there aren't global factors that are contributing to a recession. It means the United States is, was, and will be the most powerful economy on the face of the earth. And when that economy decides to cut its own Achilles, then this is what happens. If you cut your own tendons and then you can't walk, that's your fault. This administration has every ability to alleviate the pressures on businesses right now. They're not doing it. They're increasing the pressures on businesses. Well, even some Democrats are starting to get very worried about this because now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. As I mentioned just a couple of days ago, the fact is that Democrats are looking down the road at 2024 and they're figuring, okay, well, we are screwed. And the reason we are screwed is not just because we have a dead man for president, but also because we now have a choice. Our choice is we tamp down the inflation by killing the economy, or we allow the economy to continue to sort of bubble along at mid-range pace, and we allow the inflation to soar out of control. None of those are really good options. According to the New York Times, a recession would hurt Democrats. Some warn it would also hurt democracy. What they really mean by this is, God forbid people recognize that Democratic policy sucks, a Republican could win in 2024. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, made the understatement of the year on Wednesday when he noted offhandedly to reporters, quote, clearly people do not like inflation. And how? According to Fox News' latest national poll, 41% of registered voters said inflation and higher prices represented the most important issue influencing their ballot decision in November. Just 12% of voters called guns their top priority, the second place issue. 71% disapproved of the job President Biden is doing on inflation. 71%. That's a lot of Democrats and independents who do not like Joe Biden's policies on inflation. The Fed might be Joe Biden's best hope. After the Federal Open Market Committee announced Wednesday it would raise short-term interest rates by 0.75 percentage point, Powell said the Fed's goal is to bring inflation closer to its 2% target while keeping the labor market strong. He hastened to add, we're not trying to induce a recession. Now, let's be clear about that. But some commentators, like David Frum of The Atlantic, who's become a big Democrat, have begun to fret that in trying to tame inflation, the Fed will do exactly that. Start a recession just in time to doom Biden or whomever Democrats nominate in his stead in 2024. Frum noted the historically tight link between economic growth and a president's chances of reelection. citing the possibility that an unrepentant Donald Trump will run again. He argued a downturn this year or next could result in a democracy-wrecking election the next year. And so the basic idea here is that maybe we have to keep inflation high to prevent a recession so as to prevent Donald Trump from sweeping back into office. Or, theoretically, you could pursue, you know, good economic policy. The reason people disapprove of Joe Biden is because they can see statistics in front of their face. The inflation rate under Joe Biden has climbed virtually every month since he became president of the United States. The only downtick was very mild, and it was a couple of months ago. And then it went up again. So the Biden administration has no handle on this. They're just going to keep saying the word transition over and over again. And I have to say that this line of attack, that we're just in, don't worry, guys. Everything is fine. This is just a transitional period. No one believes this. Because the question is, a transition toward what? A transition toward what? Normally, when you say I'm making a transition from A to B, I want to know what B is. If we mean transition toward a low-growth market for the foreseeable future, that's bad. That's a bad thing. But here's Karine Jean-Pierre, who keeps kind of suggesting that if she says the word transition over, and it's not just her, it's Brian Deese, it's the entire economic team over there. Like everyone, Jared Bernstein, they're all saying the same thing. Transition, transition. Well, no one believes this is transitional. You said inflation was transitory. Trans is not every issue, guys. And here's Karine Jean-Pierre trying to explain that the economy is just, we're in the midst of a big transition, you know, toward green energy. Mm-hmm. We're in the midst of it toward a booming economy. Mm-hmm. We don't believe you.
We believe that we are in a transition right now, coming out of a historic economic recovery, because of the work that the president has done this past year and a half. And so we believe that we'll be in that transition. We're going into that transition of stable and steady growth, and we're going to continue to do the work that the president has laid out to lower inflation.
No one believes her. No one believes Joe Biden. This is why his approval ratings are awful. Harry Enten of CNN, he says we're going to look at a Republican wave year this year because of Joe Biden's economic policies. He points out that there's never been a president with this kind of approval rating who didn't just get absolutely shellacked in the midterms. And again, when Joe Biden says recession is not inevitable, that's not what CEOs are saying. According to the Wall Street Journal, most top executives say they think a recession is looming or already here. According to a new survey, more than 60% of CEOs expect a recession in their geographic region in the next 12 to 18 months, according to a survey of 750 CEOs and other C-suite executives released Friday by the Conference Board, a business research firm. An additional 15% think the region of the world where their company operates is already in a recession. Because here's the thing, you only find out when you're in a recession after you're in a recession. Because the way that we typically measure a recession is two straight quarters of negative growth. But if you're in the midst of that second quarter of negative growth, you're not going to find out that you're already in a recession until we release the stats at the end of quarter two. But the simple fact is, everybody already perceives that there is a drawback in spending. We can see the home prices are climbing. Homes are sitting on the market for longer. Mortgage rates are going up. You're spending too much money at the gas pump. Everyone feels this. Everybody knows this. In late 2021, 22% of CEOs surveyed by the firm reported seeing recession risk. That total was down from 39% a year earlier. Now it is 60%. That data was collected in May before the Federal Reserve approved its largest interest rate increase since 1994. We need to be prepared for tougher times, said Ilham Kadri, CEO of Solvay SA, a Brussels-based chemical maker, who added that rising inflation could hurt demand for products. And Joe Biden can try to blame this on everybody else, but again, he's the president of the United States, and he's the one who is going to pay the price as well he should, because a lot of this was preventable. Not all of it. A lot of it was preventable. And Joe Biden decided to steer right into this hurricane. Right into it. Alrighty, coming up, we are in the middle of a great moral conflict in this country. It is getting worse. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof by David Auber and directed by Samantha Fork, June 3rd through June 18th. Proof is the story of a young woman who has been spending the last few years caring for her brilliant but unstable father. Proof explores loss, love, genius, mental illness, fear, trust, relationships, and the breaking points we push each other to. Tickets available at RiverfrontPlayhouse.net. Enjoy the store reading and at the door. Riverfront Playhouse presents Proof, June 3rd through June 18th. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
91.32.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, right now, we have an economy that's in a state of decline. A good economy masks a lot of problems. When the economy starts to go down, a lot of the moral conflicts that are undergirding our society tend to break out into the open. We are seeing that full scale right now. There's a poll that came out from Gallup, and it showed that 50% of Americans rate U.S. moral values as poor. Now, the 50% of Americans who rate U.S. moral values as poor, that actually is bipartisan, because there are a bunch of Republicans who think it, and there are a bunch of Democrats who think it, but for completely different reasons, and this is the key. There are two very different moral visions for the country. This is particularly true with regard to children. On the left, there's a generalized perception that the great risk to children is Judeo-Christian values, traditional roles, moral rules. These things are a threat to your child's development, according to the left. Your child needs to be left free to explore their own identity, to find their gender fluidity, to find their inner peace through your facilitation of hormone treatment. They have to be, at the same time, trained that they might be a little racist and that they need to understand the historic injustices of the United States that have now been instantiated in them as human beings. And if you teach them Judeo-Christian moral, if you take them to church, that is an imposition of it, of an external morality that is bad for kids. This is the view of large swaths of the left, which is why you're starting to see all this talk about drag queen story hour in public schools and why it's so important. And why you have the Biden administration openly attempting to trans the kids. Because the idea is that all of these impositions on children are dangerous for them. The right's view is precisely the opposite. That kids need inculcation of moral rules. That traditional Judeo-Christian ideas are good for kids. That kids need boundaries. They need to be taught about civilizational roles. And that it is good to act in accordance with both evolutionary biology and the inherited wisdom of the ages when it comes to enacting the way that you live your life. That these are in complete contradistinction to one another. And you can see that this moral conflict is now becoming incredibly acute. Because as the left moves ever to the left, as they feel their oats, as they believe that the wave of history is with them, they push so far so fast that the right, which has been asleep at the wheel for literally my entire lifetime culturally, has decided we're done with this. And a lot of people in the middle are looking at what the left has done to kids. And they're saying, we're not interested in this. You can see the conflict in this poll from Gallup. It's really fascinating. According to this Gallup poll, a record high 50% of Americans rate the overall state of moral values in the United States as poor. Another 37% say only fair. Just 1% think the state of moral values is excellent and 12% good. Okay, but when you break this down, what you see is two very different reasons why people believe that the moral values of the United States are bad. The right believes the moral values of the left are bad, and the left believes the moral values of the right are bad. So the only thing they have in common is they believe the moral values of the United States are bad. It's just that the left believes that the right is in control, and the right believes the left is in control. These findings from Gallup's May 2nd through 22nd values and beliefs poll are generally in line with perceptions since 2017. On average, since 2002, 43% of U.S. adults have rated moral values in the United States as poor, 38% as fair, 18% as excellent or good. Republicans' increasingly negative assessment of the state of moral values is largely responsible for the record high overall poor rating. At 72%, Republicans' poor rating of moral values is at the highest point since the inception of the trend and up sharply since Donald Trump left office. At the same time, 36% of Democrats say the state of moral values is poor. Only a 48% plurality rated as only fair, 15% as excellent or good. So why exactly do people believe that the moral values of the United States are bad? Republicans are more negative than Democrats about the deteriorating state of moral values. The 93% of Republicans who think moral values are getting worse is the highest measured for the group by 1 point. It comes after a sharp uptick in 2021 when Joe Biden became president. Meanwhile, only 68% of Democrats now say moral values are getting worse. Again, because Democrats control all of the institutions of our society, ranging from the actual government to, at the federal level at least, to the educational system, to the entertainment system, to the media. And so when they look at all of the institutions reflecting their moral values, naturally, fewer of them think that the morality of the country is getting worse. So what exactly do Americans think is the top problem? So according to the polling data, 18% of Americans, and this is very consistent, think consideration of others is the top problem. Now, again, that's very vague, and people break that down very differently. I think consideration for others means, for example, that you respect my religious freedom. People on the left believe consideration for others means that they get to invade my religious freedom and declare that Yeshiva University has to have a pride club. In terms of racism and discrimination, 8% of Americans now believe that this is the top problem with the state of moral values. 8% say racism and discrimination. That, of course, is the aftermath of the BLM movement. There's actually been a decline since 2012 to 2022 in lack of faith or religion or lack of morals. So 17% of Americans in 2022 thought lack of religion or lack of morals was the key issue. Today, that's only 14%. Lack of family structure, that worry has declined as well. So what you've seen is that the left has basically given up on sort of the mainstream view that people should go to church, that people should have traditional family structure, and they've decided to pour all of their moral ire into the racism issue. Right? Among Republicans, about 11% name a lack of faith or religion as the most important moral problem. Democrats are at least twice as likely as Republicans to mention racism as a top moral problem. So we have a massive gap that has emerged in our culture. And so as the economy declines, and as the sort of materialism of a very rich society starts to run up on the shoals of bad Democratic policy, all of the moral conflicts that are boiling under the surface are going to start to break through. Because materialism and material comfort can mask a lot of things, like the fatty layer on your body. It can mask a lot of things. But as that fat starts to decline, and whatever is underneath starts to show through, things are going to get really, really ugly really fast. And this is becoming, again, most clear when it comes to the treatment of children. The treatment of children in religion is the biggest one. According to the Washington Post, caught in the culture wars, teachers are being forced from their jobs. And so the right would say, okay, well, if you're teaching my kid gender orientation, sexual theory, then yeah, you should lose your job. If you're teaching my kid America's inherently bad, you should lose your job. The left says, if you teach prayer in the classroom, you should lose your job. These are two incompatible visions of what it means to raise children in the United States, which is, of course, what we're all fighting about all the time. Because if we're not fighting about just our pocketbooks, we have to be thinking about what the moral future of the United States looks like. The Washington Post, of course, is on the side of the left. A Florida teacher lost her job for hanging a Black Lives Matter flag over her classroom door and rewarding student activism. A Massachusetts teacher was fired for posting a video denouncing critical race theory. A teacher in Missouri got the axe for assigning a worksheet about privilege. And still another in California was fired for criticizing mask mandates on her Facebook page. They're among the more than 160 educators who were either fired or resigned from their jobs in the past two academic years due to the culture wars that are roiling many of the nation's schools. And the reason, by the way, that this is boiling down to schools is because there's a baseline libertarianism that Americans have when it comes to adults. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, do whatever you want. That's sort of the baseline libertarian ideal in America. But when it comes to kids, libertarianism does not apply because kids do not have the power of consent. Kids do not have the power of choice. What moral there's no such thing as a sort of classical liberal moral standard to be applied to children, because somebody's going to have to teach children. Somebody's going to have to determine what standards they ought to be inculcated with. And that's why all of this is really boiling down to the question of how we raise our kids. And you're starting to see this in real ways breaking out everywhere in the culture, everywhere from the schooling system to your entertainment culture. I think it's very important to just mention that the wild difference between how the left sees raising kids and how the right sees raising kids is very, very important. Okay, so, for example, Chris Evans is now saying that you are a terrible person and very bad if you don't wish to take your kids to see Lightyear. Right? This is now a moral test. And this is what the left likes to do. What they like to do is they like to do something transgressive. And then and they say it's very important that what they're doing is it's an incredible, important moment. We have the first gay kiss in a children's movie made by Pixar. Very important. You should all take note how important this is. And then you say, okay, I agree that it's important because you're trying to inculcate a system whereby you claim that a certain sexual morality and lifestyle is equivalent to another sexual morality and lifestyle, where you claim that female-female couples are entirely morally equivalent to male-female couples producing children. Right? That's the claim that you're making. And I disagree with that claim. So I agree that what you're doing is important. And also, I don't wish to indoctrinate my kids in a belief system that I think is morally incorrect. And Chris Evans says this makes you a bad person. Right? You're not allowed to notice. This should be it's his wording, I think, that is really important here. So Chris Evans, who is the star of the film, he says, I mean, it's great. As great as it is, and you know, I've been asked the question a few times, it's nice and it's wonderful. It makes me happy. It's tough not to be a little frustrated that it even has to be a topic of discussion. So we do something that changes the moral standard, and it's sad that we even have to discuss it. We shouldn't have to discuss it. It's important for kids to see this stuff. Quote, that it is this kind of news. The goal is that we can get to a point where it is the norm, and that this doesn't have to be some uncharted waters, that eventually this is just the way it is. It is the norm. Okay, now, statistically, evolutionarily speaking, male-male, female-female couples are not the norm. That's just the simple fact of the matter. All of human biology, all of human reproduction relies on this not being the norm, in fact. That's not to make the case against tolerance. That's not even to make the case against same-sex marriage. Okay, that's just to make the case that to teach small children that the norm is male-male or female-female is statistically and morally incorrect. And yet, that is exactly what is being pushed. And if you object, this makes you a bigot. Okay, well, that sort of stuff is going to boil to the surface when you have a country that is so divided along these lines. There's an article in the Orlando Sentinel that just came out that I think underscores all of this. The Orlando Sentinel put out an editorial called GOP Loves Parental Choice. Unless parents choose drag queens. I mean, yes. Like, we think there are things that you can do to your child that are damaging to your child. And bringing them to strip clubs where they view men dressed as women, dance around twerking, seems like damaging stuff to children. Like, what? Correct? Again, these conflicting visions of the world are going to divide the country. They're going to continue to divide the country in the middle, particularly of a Joe session. Okay, and, you know, it is not just relegated to what's happening with the children. It is now breaking out across every front in America. Like, every single institution has now been turned into a battleground between the war between right and left on what the moral future and status of the country should be today. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high. Again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government borrowed, printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, it's not just about kids. The moral conflict between right and left, the culture war, it's infected every single institution. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. Using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos, this is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Monica Guzman is on a mission to depolarize America.
That animosity is called affective polarization. It's polarization based on how we feel about each other. We are actually living under more anxiety and fear than is probably justified. By the way, when we have less fear, we can solve more.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left claimed that basically they just want to be left alone, right? We want to live our own lives. That's not true. What they want is complete domination of every institution, especially when it comes to kids, but also when it comes to adults. So the moral conflict between right and left, and this great moral conflict in our country, it's now infected every institution. And things that used to be considered relatively uncontroversial, it just demonstrates the actual cultural imperialism of the left. They attempt to infiltrate institutions that have historically rejected their values, and they get angry when those institutions say no. So, perfect example, yesterday, Yeshiva University said that they did not want to have a pride club on campus because they are an Orthodox Jewish school. And a court in New York was like, nope, you got to. You got to. It's important. Your institution is now a secular university that must abide by our standard of morality. Also, apparently, it is very controversial that a Catholic church says that you're not allowed to fly at Catholic institutions the BLM flag or the pride flag. Why this is controversial is absolutely beyond me. But apparently, it's wildly controversial in the same way that the media declared it controversial every 5 minutes when the Pope says that he's against same-sex marriage. The doctrine has not changed in any way, shape, or form. But it was like, oh, my God. Well, the Pope. Yes, the Pope. The Pope. Why are we even having this discussion? But the answer is because the left wishes to take over all of the traditional institutions of society and wreck them from within. According to the Washington Post, quote, the stark dual-colored letters of the Black Lives Matter flag and the bright rainbow stripes of the Pride flag had flown above the Massachusetts Catholic school for more than a year before the local bishop registered his opposition. The Black Lives Matter flag, Bishop Robert McManus said in April, has been co-opted by some factions, which also instill broad-brush distrust of police. And the LGBTQ flag could be used to contrast church teaching that marriage is between a man and a woman, he added. What do you mean, could? Could? Does. I mean, forget about marriage. The Catholic Church, last I checked, is not in favor of homosexual activity, period. Not just marriage. When Nativity School of Worcester didn't budge, McManus issued a severe ruling. The tuition-free middle school, which serves boys facing economic hardship, can no longer identify itself as Catholic because the flags are inconsistent with Catholic teaching. He said the flying of these flags in front of a Catholic school sends a mixed, confusing, a scandalous message to the public about the church's stance on these important moral and social issues. Despite my insistence, the school administration removed these flags because of the confusion and the properly theological scandal that they do and can promote. They refused to do so. That defiance, McManus said, left him no other choice but to strip the Jesuit-run school of its Catholic affiliation. The school can also no longer celebrate Mass or the sacraments or use diocesan institutions to raise funds. It was not included Thursday in the diocese's list of Catholic schools in the region. The decision, which comes during Pride Month. Man, how many... I'm so tired of the media doing this routine. You said this during Black History Month? Well, I would have said it any other time. Yes, but it's Black History Month. You're supposed to take all of your values and trash them. It's Black History Month. It's Pride Month, guys. You said that you oppose same-sex marriage during Pride Month of all times? During Pride... Yes, like the other 330 days of the year. I also oppose it then. But during Pride... the vapors. We're supposed to believe that this is somehow a controversy. It's not a controversy. The Catholic Church has beliefs. The school is not reflecting the beliefs. The Washington Post is featuring that story. Because, again, the idea is cultural imperialism from the left. What the left really wants is to be able to take all of these traditional institutions and turn them inside out and then pretend that they are representative of the institutions. They want a Hannibal Lecter-like rip off the face of the institutions and wear it around as a skin mask. That's what Nancy Pelosi is doing. She's out there saying how Catholic she is and also she loves abortion. No, it don't work that way, Nancy. It really do not. It does not work that way.
A woman has a right to choose, to live up to her responsibility. It's up to her doctor, her family, her husband, her significant other, and her God. This talk of politicizing all of this, I think, is something uniquely American and not right. Other countries, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, have had initiatives to expand a woman's right to choose. Very Catholic countries. I'm a very Catholic person. And I believe in every woman's right to make her own decisions.
You're not a very Catholic person if you believe that a woman gets to define whether the life in her womb is in fact a life in her womb. That's like saying I'm a very Jewish person. Also, the Sabbath doesn't exist and you should violate it as often as possible. That's not the way any of that works. But again, the goal of the left is to basically gut these institutions and then pretend that they are representatives of the institutions. And they're doing this like from the smallest to the largest to all of them. Take just the most absurd example of the day. So I have to say, this Pride Month has been the most pridey of all the Pride Months. I mean, man, the LGBTQ plus minus divided by the time pizza emoji, the movement this month, it has been the most prideful Pride Month in all the history of Pride. It's amazing. So much so that even institutions as insignificant as the Audubon Society. Now you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, the Audubon Society? What does that have to do with Pride Month? I mean, doesn't the Audubon Society do like protection of birds? Isn't that what they do? It's an environmental organization. that's trying to preserve, like, birds? No, you've got that wrong. They're all about drag over at the Audubon Society now. So they tweeted out, this Pride Month, Audubon partnered with drag queen and intersectional environmentalist Patty Gonia to bring you Birds Tell Us, the Song of the Meadowlark, a message of hope for the future of the planet as we face climate change, if we choose to listen. First of all, I'm never going to listen to a person who's dressed like this. I'm just not going to, because I feel like they've made poor life decisions. I know, call it judgmental, but if you are in an Audubon Society video as a man dressed up as a woman dressed up as a bird, I'm just not taking you seriously. I'm sorry. If anybody walked into a meeting at my company dressed like that, I wouldn't take them seriously. If I had a plumber who came to my house and was trying to just unclog the shower dressed like that, I wouldn't take them particularly. Like, this is inherently unserious. But this is how far we have come. Every single institution in American society must not only be forced to kneel before the Zod of LGBTQ plus minus spiral emoji, they must also now actually purvey it. You have to become a loud megaphone for it by putting up the most ridiculous videos I have ever seen in my entire life. This is what Audubon Society, man, I can't wait for the Natural Museum of History to put out the gay dinosaurs. I mean, this is really, really, really fascinating stuff. Here's the Audubon Society. Yeah. But why? Don't worry. The status of our society, we are in great moral shape here, folks. We are in just fantastic moral shape. You know the kind of moral shape we are in? We're in the kind of moral shape where the Miss Universe contest is now insisting that not all people who menstruate are women, which comes as a shock to, you know, all of mammalian biology, that males can now menstruate. Miss Universe, of all places, is claiming that not all people who menstruate are women, and shared inclusive language guidelines to its Twitter account on Tuesday, instructing the public to say people have periods, not women. According to Breitbart, inclusive language is important, especially when speaking about periods, Miss Universe tweeted on Tuesday. In honor of this, Miss Universe needs to stop being so heteronormative by having a bunch of beautiful, actual biological women walking around in their underthings on stage. Instead, what they need is a bunch of big, fat, hairy dudes who identify as women to walk around, and one of them needs to win Miss Universe, because we are in a brave new universe where you get to pick, man. This is really exciting stuff. Really exciting stuff. And this is what's going to make our moral society, and your refusal to accept it, this makes you bad. If you refuse to accept it, we will destroy you. We will wreck you. You must accept that the Audubon Society is now the purveyor of drag queens doing bad poetry while dressed up as a Tim Burton character dressed up as a bird. And you have to accept that Catholic institutions are going to fly the LGBTQ pride flag. And if you do not, then you are intolerant. By force of law, you must take your child to see Lightyear. You must. You can't just say, use your best judgment. I wouldn't. You can't do that. You have to take it, because otherwise you are a dinosaur, says Chris Evans, the actor who has zero kids. Vital stuff. And if you cross them, man, they will break you on the wheel. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. Talks on gun reform in the Senate proving once again the devil's in the details.
Just a few days ago, enough Republicans were on board with the basic framework of the bill. It appeared a final compromise could be passed by next week. Republicans still have concerns, however, about the wording of two key provisions. Money to be sent to states for red flag laws, meant to ban gun ownership for those deemed a danger to themselves and others, and perhaps more so the boyfriend loophole. It would bar romantic partners convicted of domestic abuse from owning guns. Gun rights advocates worry about just how far the definition of a domestic partner could be applied. Bob Agner reporting.
Two Uvalde, Texas City police officers told a sheriff's deputy that they passed up on a fleeting chance to shoot the gunman for fear of hitting children outside of Robb Elementary School, where the gunman killed 21 people. That gunman went on to enter the building May 24th, opened fire, killing 19 children and 2 teachers. President Biden has a trip to Saudi Arabia on his schedule, but he's not there to meet anybody, to meet the king.
The president has been criticized for his Saudi travel plans, given that U.S. intelligence concluded Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, known as MBS, orchestrated the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Mr. Biden says he plans to handle the issue as he always has.
I'm not going to meet with MBS. I'm going to an international meeting, and he's going to be part of it.
The president vowed to make a pariah out of Saudi Arabia's ruling party, but critics worry they won't be held accountable. Greg Clugston, Washington.
U.S. regulators authorizing the first COVID-19 shots for infants and preschoolers. That paves the way for vaccinations for children under the age of 5 to begin next week. Food and Drug Administration's emergency use authorization follows a unanimous recommendation by its advisory panel. News and analysis at townhall.com.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
The European Union's executive arm on Friday recommending making Ukraine a candidate for EU membership, a morale booster, and a first step on what's expected to be a long road for the war-torn country to join the 27-nation bloc.
The Commission recommends to the Council, first, that Ukraine is given European perspective, and second, that Ukraine is given candidate status.
European Union Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says she got a very positive response when discussing reforms with Ukraine's President Zelensky.
President Zelensky, he said, you know, even if we would not apply for European membership, these are all reforms that are necessary and that are good for the country. And we would have to do them anyway because it's for Ukrainian democracy.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Boy, a rough day for travelers. Airlines canceled more than 1,200 flights on Friday, coupled with the 1,500 canceled the day before, making it some of the worst days yet for travel as the peak summer vacation season heats up.
On the same day that airline CEOs held a virtual meeting with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, airlines canceled more than 1,500 flights in the U.S. According to the tracking service FlightAware, more than one-third of all flights were scrubbed at New York LaGuardia, and more than one-fourth of flights were dropped at nearby Newark Liberty. The meeting came on the heels of about 2,800 flight cancellations around the Memorial Day holiday weekend and just ahead of July 4th. The airlines were asked about their summer preparations. They are struggling with a shortage of workers. Pilots' unions say their airlines were too slow to replace pilots who retired or took leaves of absences during the early part of the pandemic. Norman Hall, Washington.
More at townhall.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 248-246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
As we come up at the top of the hour, we're going to have to end our coverage of this January 6th hearing on the NBC network. My colleagues and I will continue our coverage on the hearings on our streaming platform, NBC News Now. For everyone else, U.S. Open Golf begins momentarily.
And there it is, right there. That's the answer. That's the answer to the January 6th Soviet-style hearing. I almost called it a kangaroo court. Happy Friday. Friday Luya to you. It's the Chris Plant Show with Michael Pelka in for my buddy Chris Plant on holiday, and I'm hanging out, covering everything. That moment yesterday, that moment when the NBC News automaton, Lester Holt, announced to those tuned in that NBC would, in fact, stop covering fiction and go to the reality of a sports competition, the U.S. Open, made me feel warm and fuzzy all over. And I hope it did the same for you. What a great moment. And immediately, even though I'm a golf fan, immediately I didn't stay there and watch the opening of the U.S. Open, because let's face it, we got 4 days of golf. That's a lot of golf. No. I went to social media because I knew what was going to happen. I knew the offendonistas, the crowd of people who wake up every single morning and look for something to light their hair on fire and run around the house or the town square screaming about, would be screaming about this. And they did not disappoint. They absolutely did not disappoint. It was just pure, triggering magic and wonderful stuff. And these are the days that we look forward to, when the left gets lost in its anger. Because for them, feelings are more important than facts. Feelings are much more important than facts. These hearings that the left are holding, they are a perfect testimony to that statement. The feelings about January 6th are much more important than the actual facts of what happened, at least to them. And kudos to NBC for understanding that they're still a capitalist organization. Big props to NBC for jumping out of this clown show and going to cover the U.S. Open. Now, I realize there's a lot of money involved. There is a whole lot of money involved in golf. Golf is probably on a per minute coverage one of the biggest sports on television. I know that everybody says, well, the Super Bowl. Yeah, the Super Bowl, but it's only once a year. You've got four major golf tournaments, and you have a whole bunch of other semi-major golf tournaments, and they rake in the money. So for NBC to get the U.S. Open, the rights to air the U.S. Open, and then to not have it, it would have been, and I'm going to reference a really old sports and TV reference, it would have been another Heidi moment for NBC. If you don't know what the Heidi moment is, look it up. It's in the, it's probably in Wikipedia somewhere, about the moment that NBC cut away from a football game, a very close football game, to air Heidi on a Sunday evening. And people lost their minds. This was before the internet, before people had the ability to go on social media and post all kinds of horrible things. So, yeah, yesterday, Lester Holt delivered. Thank you, Lester Holt. That was wonderful. Thank you, NBC Sports. Now, behind the scenes, what you don't know is there was probably a major fight. Because the networks are broken down via in three groups, pretty much. There is the news group, which usually has complete sway over the network. There is the entertainment group, which makes the primetime sitcoms and dumb stuff like that. And then there is the sports group. And in some networks, sports and entertainment are folded in together because they are sports and entertainment, kind of like wrestling. But in the case of this, I believe this was NBC Sports winning out over NBC News. And I'm betting there was a major conference call or a boardroom meeting or something. But good for NBC. Now, this is interesting on a couple of levels. Because it appears that NBC and NBC News are finally starting to see the truth and the light. And they're finally starting to, maybe drift away from the madness of the blind support of Joe Biden. I'll give you some examples. I have plenty of examples. And one of them even involves Joe Scarborough and their morning show and a very high-level Democrat endorser, former Obama administration official, in fact, and we'll get to that. But I see the phones, which are open always, whenever I'm on the radio, they're open, 888-630-9625. I see the phones are bubbling already. Jerry's in West Virginia and apparently has a very vital question. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Michael. Nice to hear you again.
Thank you, sir.
Do you think it would be apropos for the White House to sponsor the drag races at DuPont Circle for Halloween?
Well, I'm probably, you know, Halloween, let's think, that's going to be like the week before the election, right? The week before the midterms?
Yes.
Well, Nancy Pelosi has some pretty high-level friends in the drag world now. So maybe, RuPaul's Drag Race. She was on it again, second time she's made an appearance, and she declared that drag is now really the true expression of what America is. So maybe Nancy Pelosi could be out there and wave the starting flag at this year's drag races. I don't know. That's a good question. NBC might not cut away from a hearing for that, though. I'm just saying. But thank you for opening the door on the attitude I would like to bring to a Friday. We have so much serious news out there. We have to have a little fun today. So thank you, Jerry, for diving into us with a little bit of humor to kick things off. As I said, there are many, many stories that we have to cover today. There are stories that are breaking this morning. No, I don't think we're going to get a ruling. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to hand down the decision on Roe v. Wade or overturning Roe v. Wade with the Mississippi case. I think that's probably next week, and I would even wager it probably would be near the end of next week because the Supreme Court justices and their staff would likely want to be out of town when those decisions are out. Just saying. So they don't get the threats that are coming. It really is terrible that we have to even think this way. It's terrible that we have to have a discussion over whether or not the safety of one of the greatest judicial bodies in the history of mankind has to worry about their own personal safety. And I will rarely say something like this, but kudos to Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Not somebody I usually run around going, hey, let me praise Justice Sotomayor. But she came out and said that Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, is a guy who believes in and supports he loves the Supreme Court. And that's a good sign. And I take that as a signal that Justice Sotomayor is trying to ratchet things down. So we will see. We shall see. There's a whole bunch of woke news today. We have to get to woke news. And if you want to nominate someone for a Woke Olympics Award, we're always happy to hear those. The Woke Olympics, those are the medals we give to people who expose or exhibit extreme wokeism in their daily lives or in their companies. And one of these is a talented actor. A comedic actor, Rainn Wilson, you know him from The Office. He played Dwight Schrute, the famous beet farmer slash paper salesman. Rainn Wilson, a guy who's had a he should be very happy. One imagines he's set for life. He had a couple long-running shows, the longest being The Office, and that will run in perpetuity in syndication, which should feather his nest for quite some time. But he came out and made a comment that absolutely fired up the Wokenistas. He was kind of making a joke about the term chest feeding. You know, because we're not allowed to call it breastfeeding anymore. Because apparently men can breastfeed. No, they can't. And so Rainn Wilson mocked that. And then immediately the flame was lit to come after Rainn Wilson. The torches were lit and they grabbed their sticks and went marching towards his social media castle to burn him down. Rainn Wilson subsequently removed the tweet. He deleted it. However, nothing ever goes away in social media. I don't understand the point of deleting something unless you're just going to correct a typo and then repost it. So it's out there forever. And then he issued an apology talking about how long he had spent thinking about what he had said and how offensive it might have been and how he has now changed his ways after talking to people in the trans community, and he hopes they can forgive him. Well, there will be some that will forgive him. There will be a great group of those who won't, because that's how they are. Everything is the death penalty in the trans community. And I don't even see anything that he did that was a violation of anything. Comedy is comedy. If we kill comedy, mankind is dead. And thank God for people like Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle for keeping it alive. Thank God for them. Oh, I have so much to get to today. There's some Joe Biden fun from yesterday. Joe stepped in it again. Joe also was asked a question in public, in a very public moment, was asked a question about the former wife of the mayor of Moscow who sent Hunter $3.5 million. I wonder what for. And that question was met with what the computer industry calls the blue screen moment. Joe's face is, and I know it's radio, but Joe's face went totally blue screen. And I must have watched it 15 times. Just that part. And then he had to try and get away, but he couldn't. So the media's starting to bite back, and that gives me hope, and we'll talk about that. I see a couple of calls coming in. Let's grab one more before we go to break. Marco in Springfield, welcome to the Chris Plant Show with Opelka. How are you?
Good, Michael. Hey, great job subbing for Chris.
Thank you.
I did want to talk about the Ashley Biden diary. Jesse Waters touched on it last night. That family is so screwed up and so immoral. She talked about her promiscuity, her drug abuse, her rehab, and her showering with her father. Now, you want to talk about sick? I think Peter Schweikert also addressed Beau Biden's ex-wife and her escapades with Hunter. I don't know how much more people need to see and hear and before this stuff really hits the fan. This guy...
Well, Marco, hang on one second. At some point, we have to bring up the fact that the only thing that's really going to matter is if there's a real crime that is found out here that involves the president, whether that is selling influence, whether that is trading his power in some way, shape, or form. Families are messed up everywhere. You can turn on all sorts of cable TV channels and see families that are absolutely insane, and we watch because of the insanity. Look, you've got drug addiction, prostitution, jumping across the family, the ex-wife line, the widow line. It's all a mess. But until and unless a law is broken and there's proof, this is all just page six gossip to me. Yeah, it's fun to read, but it's not going to stop the Democrats. We need evidence. All right, a lot to get to today, but thank you for that, Margo. Appreciate it. 888-630-9625, Opelka, in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Fear of out-of-control inflation is hammering the stock market. The S&P 500 is having its worst start to the year since World War II. Not only is your money worth less, you now have less of it. Good time to diversify into gold, the most stable asset in the history of the world. And Birch Gold is the company I trust to help you convert an IRA or a 401k into an IRA in gold and silver. Not only will Birch Gold help you fortify your savings with precious metals, they'll help you do it in a tax-sheltered account. Just text Chris to 989898 to get started. Amazon stock down 37% in the first half of the year. Tesla down 40%. Cryptos have been slammed. And many fear the moves by the Fed could stall the economy. What's your plan? Text Chris to 989898 and get your free no-obligation information kit from Birch Gold. Text Chris to 989898 and secure your savings now. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Message and data rates apply.
You could unlock more cash than you realize from your home's equity with a cash-out refinance today. In the last year, average home values have gone up nearly 20%. And with Rocket Mortgage, you could unlock thousands in less than 3 weeks. But you've got to act right now before rates go up. So when you're looking to unlock the cash in your home, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET today or go to rocketmortgage.com to get started. Rocket.
Rates current as of 12/12/21. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS consumer access. Org number 3030. Call 800-490-1233 for disclosures and cost information.
Now, you know when it came to my KFC meal, I had to put some thought into it.
KFC, may I take your order?
So I started off with a warm and toasted brioche bun. Word of advice, do not sleep on brioche buns. They're French and they're fire. Come on. Now, for the star of the show, have you ever seen such a beautiful chicken sandwich? You've got to make mine spicy. Add a side of mac and cheese, secret recipe fries, ranch, and an ice-cold lemonade. And there you have it. Check out the new Jack Harlow meal at KFC.
Order ahead or on the KFC app today.
Prices and participation may vary.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Dads want steaks. Father's Day is here, and there isn't a better gift than Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, type sizzle in the search bar, and save over 50% when you order the Dads Want Steaks package. Send Dad more than just a gift. Send him an experience he'll love and can share with you. Go to omahasteaks.com and type sizzle into the search bar and order the Dads Want Steaks package today. You'll get 16 entrees and 4 desserts, plus 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers with your order. Don't wait. Order today. That's omahasteaks.com. Keyword sizzle.
American Financing is the lender you want on your side when it comes to buying a home. Whether you're looking for a starter home or you're ready for something bigger, they've got you covered. From custom home loans to fast closings and everything in between, you can always expect the best deal. Just call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
It is a Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Michael Pelka in for the vacationing Chris Plant. Oh man, I've just got another story to add to the pile of stories. It involves Ben and Jerry's. It involves what it takes to become a worker, an employee at Ben & Jerry's. Just insane. But before we get to that, I did mention I will take Woke Olympics nominations. If you want to nominate someone for a Woke Olympics gold medal, you can. For example, I nominate the state of New Jersey today. Monday is the federal holiday for Juneteenth, which is June 19th, the day that we would normally celebrate the last state getting the message on the Emancipation Proclamation. That was Texas, a bazillion years after everybody else. And it used to be a huge holiday in Texas. I lived there for 13 years. It was a great festival. Music and education, it was wonderful. But now it's a federal holiday, and states have also adopted it. New Jersey's gone extra woke. Today is a holiday for state workers in New Jersey. And then they also get Monday because of the federal holiday. So it's a double dipper. So New Jersey gets a Woke Olympics gold medal. Donna's calling from Frederick with a nomination. Donna, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. I hope you're well, too.
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I think Nancy Pelosi ran away with the award this week. I mean, such a devout Catholic she is.
Well, yeah, Donna's referring to, Nancy Pelosi was asked if she agrees with the Pope on abortion. And she tap danced all the way around it, basically refusing to answer it. And Pelosi refers to herself as a very Catholic person. She says she's very Catholic. And if you challenge her on it, her reason is not that she follows the Catholic doctrine. No, her reason usually focuses on the fact, I have 5 children in 6 years. That doesn't make you a Catholic. That makes you fertile. That's really all that means. But Nancy Pelosi is what my late mother would call a cafeteria Catholic. Somebody who would walk up and down the aisle of Catholicism going, well, I'd like some of that, but oh, no, we don't want that. We can't have that, but I'll take a scoop of that over there. So it's very convenient Catholicism. And, we will give, Nancy probably has a permanent Woke Olympics gold medal, especially when it comes to her faith and her lack of understanding of what Catholicism is. And maybe she should look to the fact that her local bishop doesn't want to give her communion. You can't be very Catholic and be banned from communion at the same time. Those two are in direct conflict with each other. We've got a lot to get to today. There's a January 6th committee news. There's media news. And there's more fun today. It is a Friday, after all. It's the Chris Plant Show. Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant. Let's go.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any 3 vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Our summer tribute lineup will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. From rock and roll classics to country to today's pop charts. Tickets are just $15 each, plus fees. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey kids, we're working here. Give us a call and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
50.
It is a Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for the vacationing Chris Plant. Thanks for welcoming me. Glad to be here. Michael Piercy's here. Jane's on the phones, and we are here to take on the world. And there is a lot that needs to be taken on today. There's a lot of Biden stuff. There is there's news from all around the world, actually. And there was news from Elon Musk yesterday that we will get to. Elon Musk addressing the Twitter employees for the first time since he made his offer. And he said some things that have landed him in hot water. I am stunned. I am shocked. I am appalled that Elon Musk might be slightly controversial. Not really. But Mr. Musk's statements are worth addressing, and we have to thank our friends over at Project Veritas for posting the entirety of it, and it's some great clips, too. So we'll get to some of those, and you're also welcome to join the conversation at any time at 888-630-9625. I'm talking about the Woke Olympics Awards. There are many to be given out. And, you know, since it's no longer June, since we've replaced the month of June with the word Pride, that this is probably the month that we will give out the most ever gold medals in the Woke Olympics. It could be the most ever. So you're welcome to keep your nominations flowing in throughout the program. Leanne is in Alabama, the great state of Alabama. Leanne, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being there today, Michael. I just want to, I want to elect Coke. Through the years, they have not, let us down. I mean, they're worldwide known, but they support Pride Month like nobody else. But when you get over across the sea, they're very close-mouthed about it.
See, that's interesting to me. If you're going to be a corporation, you have to be consistent. However, Leanne, is there a specific country that you want to highlight Coke being hypocritical and not supporting Pride?
Let's go with Saudi Arabia.
Well, you can't. You can't even mention it. Saudi Arabia has been collecting the rainbow toys because, you know, that could lead, that's like a gateway drug to homosexuality in their minds. And it's just, you can get jailed or worse in Saudi Arabia. So maybe Coca-Cola doesn't want to be Woke-a-Cola in Saudi Arabia. And the Pixar people are having a similar problem with their new Buzz Lightyear cartoon, right? This is an animated movie that's coming out, the special Buzz Lightyear show, just called Lightyear. And apparently they thought it was important to have a gay kiss in this because, you know, that's how cartoons are sold today. It's, we have to be woke. But 14 countries have already said you won't be showing this here. So I wonder if they're going to stop doing business in those countries. Will they stop providing entertainment to those countries because they consider them to be just bigoted? Will they stop it? See, that's the ultimate test. If Coca-Cola truly is committed to its policy of pride or diversity, equity, and inclusion, whatever they call it, DEI, then they would not do business in places that would not conform to that, but they're too addicted to the profit. Same thing with Disney in China. You know, these companies are all hypocrites, but Coca-Cola getting... Look, if you're a company and you want to do the pride thing, that's up to you. And I, as a consumer, can choose where I want to go with my dollars. That's a simple, easy, simple program that you can just lay out and they'll understand it. But if you're going to do it here and not there, it's like the story of, and I have to figure out which embassy it was, but it's like America putting up woke flags, the pride flags at embassies, but not putting up the American flag or not putting up the pride flag in countries like Saudi Arabia. You know, if you're not going to put it up in one, you shouldn't put it up in any, but then we're going to be accused of not being fair, of not being sensitive. Yeah, Coca-Cola, I'm not a big soda drinker anyway, but Coca-Cola and any corporation that suddenly changes everything. Now, will all of the rainbows disappear at the end of the month, Coca-Cola? Will all the pride go away? Just accept people, and you don't need to trumpet it. Just throwing that out there. If you have a Woke Olympics nomination, you're welcome. Welcome to share it, 888-630-9625. There's a couple other stories out here that I had on the very front page. The Project Veritas release of the Twitter all-hands-on-deck meeting with Elon Musk, I find very interesting. And I understand Elon's in hot water because he dared to speak the phrase that causes anger and blood pressure to rise in all wokenistas, all the offendinistas. He dared to say, are you ready? Are you sitting down? I should put a warning. We should have a network warning for this. Possible offensive content coming out of the radio. Elon Musk said, all lives matter. He said that. And now people want him destroyed. Here's the guy who used to be the darling because his electric cars are going to save the planet. And as a former owner of an Elon Musk product for 3.5 years, I drove a Tesla Model 3 and it was fun. I was never once convinced it was going to save the planet. Never once did I think my Tesla was going to make it less hot outside, was going to stop the rise of the oceans, as it were. No, it was a fun car that went fast. And after 3.5 years, I sold it because it was starting to have problems, frankly. And there aren't networks of dealerships all over the country if you buy a car like Tesla. So I made a personal decision and sold it. But never once was I convinced that this guy was going to save the planet. He's a businessman. Look at what he's done with space. Look at what he's done with his tunnel building company called the Boring Company. Everything this guy touches, pretty much, ends up being a success. So when he went after Twitter, I was very happy because I thought, finally, yes, I'm on Truth Social. Yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And I've stayed on Twitter because I had hoped Twitter would right the ship of state and come back and allow people to communicate. But it was going to take a transformative disruptor like Elon Musk to make that happen. So when he made the offer and the board had to accept it, and then now he has said, well, we need to make sure I was offering my money for what truly was presented to me. Because in the past, Twitter had said it had X number of followers. And then we come to find out that maybe as many as half of them are fake, phonies, frauds, bots, if you will. Well, that kind of changes things. Imagine if you offer to buy a car and they tell you it's got a V8 engine in it and you go to pick it up. You're just about to pick it up and give them your check. And they tell you, yeah, it's a V8, but it's really a 4-cylinder. That's wrong. That's something you'd walk away from. It's a simplified explanation, but that's kind of what's going on here. So yesterday, Elon Musk jumps on an all-hands-on-deck call with all the employees of Twitter, and there are a bunch of them. And he said some things. So let me just give you a little flavor of what Elon Musk said yesterday in the all-hands-on-deck meeting. Had them all gathered, and he's there. And
I think it's essential to have a free speech and to be able to communicate. Yeah, just communicate freely if there are multiple opinions. But you know, and just make sure that we're not sort of driving a narrative. In order for people to have trust in Twitter, I think it's extremely important that there be transparency. I think Twitter, in terms of like serious issues, can be a lot better in informing people about serious issues. How many times have the media gotten it right? Well, I would say almost never. Not never, but almost never.
So, briefly, hang on there, Leslie Berland, one of the Twitter executives. I love the fact that Elon Musk is calling out how Twitter and the media have gotten things wrong. Not all the time, but pretty much a majority of the time. If we go back and look over the past 4 years, the last 2 years of Donald Trump and pretty much the first 2 years, it's a year and 14 months, 16 months of Joe Biden, the media has been wrong a great number of times. And not just on the politics, but on the pandemic, on inflation. It's not a place where you have consistent, good information. So Elon Musk wants exchange of information, and he doesn't want a company driving a narrative. Remember that concept? Interesting. Yeah, we'll get into more of Elon Musk because there's more from him. And again, he's probably headed towards full cancellation. Number one, because it turns out he voted for the female Republican Latina in Texas who now flipped the seat that's been in the Democrats' hands for 150 plus years. And he admitted he would probably vote for Ron DeSantis if DeSantis were running for president in 2024. That was enough probably to get him canceled. But for him to say that all lives matter, whoo, that's just the worst. All right, let's grab a couple of quick calls here. William in New York, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Michael. You know, I'm old enough that, let me see, put it this way here. The week after I came back from Vietnam, I was in graduate school. And right about that time, Coca-Cola was woke even before the word woke was there. There was a popular folk song at the time, very fascistic and very new left, it seemed to me, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." Well, Coke did a variation on that, "I'd like to buy the world a Coke," and they filmed a folk singer and about hundreds and hundreds of people of all different ethnicities and nationalities and costumes from all the world on a hill slope. I believe I found that it was filmed somewhere in Italy near Rome. But it was the perfect new left lesson, and there was Coke reading the leading the charge that way.
I remember the spot, and it was a catchy tune. "I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company," is right. What they said. They want us all to be together and kumbaya. I didn't find that as offensive as some of the other spots that are out there today. It was just kind of a kumbaya, all hands to the middle spot. But when you see the wokeness coming out, that's when
first
you go,
first step in that direction it was. First step in that direction.
Yeah, the indoctrination. And this is the left's strength. They have the patience because they believe their mission will go on for a long, long time. And they're like China. China has a several hundred years plan. The left has a decades plan. But they have a lot more patience than we do. But we need to sniff it out a little bit more. And I think a lot of us are paying attention now, so I'm glad you're out there doing the same. Thank you, William. Appreciate you. There you go. It's the real thing, only it was real woke at the same time. Let's squeeze one more in here. David's in Haymarket. Hey, David, welcome to the program. You have a wokeness report?
Yeah, my girlfriend was in the hospital a couple of times recently, Inova, Loudoun County Hospital.
Okay.
And not only do they have the pride flag screensavers on all the computers in there when they, you know, flip over to screensaver, we have to go past the American flag with a rainbow rag underneath to get in the place.
Look, as long as the flag is above the rainbow, as long as the original pride flag is what I call the American flag, that's the original pride flag for me, and I am all for that. But if you want to put a rainbow flag underneath it, fine. But do not violate the flag code. Do not have another flag flying higher than the stars and stripes. And I hope your girlfriend's okay. I hope she's doing fine. Hospitals, like, they're going to be woke. But we just have to make sure that the patriotism is always placed above this wokeness, if you will. I'm trying to watch my language today. All right, let's squeeze in one more quick one. Karen in Lexington Park, Maryland. Hey, Karen, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. I'd like to nominate the Miss Universe Twitter page for the Woke Olympics. Apparently, they posted tips on how to refer to menstruating people vice menstruating women.
Didn't Donald Trump used to own the Miss Universe pageant?
That's what I was thinking when I was reading the article.
I just wonder what...
I find it ironic that they,
yeah.
they parade around beautiful women and then turn to this.
Yeah, and I'm glad women are getting angrier and angrier about this, because ultimately what this does is erase you. And as a heterosexual male, I don't want women erased. I appreciate the differences. I appreciate the contrast. I appreciate the real gender differences. And I don't want the lines blurred or smeared or, in this case, eliminated. Thank you, Karen. Good nomination. It's excellent. Excellent. Very good. It's Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant. And he's enjoying his vacation, and I am enjoying you, the listeners, on the Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
These days, it's getting harder and harder to find savings. But you may have more cash than you realize in your home's equity. Unlock it today with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage. In the last year, average home values have gone up nearly 20%. That means you could unlock thousands of dollars from your home. And with Rocket Mortgage, you could get all that cash in as little as 3 weeks. Put your hard-earned money to work, pay down high-interest debt, and combine your balances into one simple, low monthly payment. Now is your perfect opportunity to take control of your financial future. So what are you waiting for? When you want to consolidate debt and simplify your finances, Rocket can. Call 8338-ROCKET today or go to rocketmortgage.com to get started. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. Rocket. Call for cost information and conditions. The Equal Housing Lender, license in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Call 800-490-1233 for disclosures and cost information.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Dads want steaks. Father's Day is here, and there isn't a better gift than Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, type sizzle in the search bar, and save over 50% when you order the Dads Want Steaks package. Send Dad more than just a gift. Send him an experience he'll love and can share with you. Go to omahasteaks.com and type sizzle into the search bar and order the Dads Want Steaks package today. You'll get 16 entrees and 4 desserts, plus 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers with your order. Don't wait. Order today. That's omahasteaks.com. Keyword sizzle.
paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Monica Guzman is on a mission to depolarize America.
That animosity is called affective polarization. It's polarization based on how we feel about each other. We are actually living under more anxiety and fear than is probably justified. By the way, when we have less fear, we can solve more.
Join Mike Carruthers and guests for Something You Should Know. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka wrapping up the first hour. Chris is on vacation. I am here doing whatever I can to hold up the fine standards of this show. There is so much in the news today. We have to talk about Kamala's new assignment, because apparently she fixed the border, she cured cancer, she ended racism, and now she's kind of jumping into that disinformation area, and we'll have to talk about that, because the new task force is pretty kind of sneaky, if you ask me. Remember, we had that singing Nina Jankowicz, the woman who should be in a Broadway cabaret. She's probably delivering her baby right now. She was 8 months pregnant when we met her, and she was set to take over the new DHS Disinformation Governance Board. She, who was spreading disinformation before the Hunter Biden laptop was declared real, she called it Russian disinformation. But now, when that's all been squashed, we believe. And it looks like the administration and the White House have figured out a way to create a disinformation governance board without being able to be stopped. And I think they're calling it a task force. Kamala was talking about it yesterday. We'll get some of that. Kind of an interesting thing to see this. And it's all about, you have to keep an eye on them, because they tell you, oh, no, we stopped that disinformation governance board. And by the way, have we told you about the brand new, the fabulous Kamala Harris and her task force? Sounds a lot like what's going on there. Joe Biden's sternly worded letter that was sent to the oil companies a couple of days ago has gotten a response from some of the oil companies. You shouldn't take on the oil companies, Joe, especially in your current state. I know you've got a committee of people writing letters for you, but just not a good idea. There are a bunch of state district attorneys who've said if Roe v. Wade is overturned, we are not going to enforce any abortion bans. We have to talk about district attorneys who decide that they're going to pick and choose what laws to enforce. Clarence Thomas's wife, Jenny, has been invited to the Soviet-style show trial known as the January 6th committee. We'll talk about that, because Jenny Thomas says she ain't scared, and she's going to show up. And Peter Ducey knocked it out of the park again yesterday. Oh, there's so much to go. Mike Opelka for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.